Hey, Aaron, where are you at?
At home.
You're supposed to say pooping, because that's what you said on Twitter.
Oh.
And someone was like, there's no way you're going to recapture that magic on the show. And guess what? You just proved we can't. Thanks.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WTF at TFW episode 222, where I'm glad to tell you that we're not some kind of Hollywood gossip column. So all I'm going to say is, you guys should calm down about the whole argument between director guy and actor guy, because guess what? You're making a mountain out of a molehill, and Michael Bay is also making a mountain out of a molehill, so calm down. Just calm down. With me today is Aaron.
Yep. Getting ready to do something real dumb.
No, getting ready to do something real noble. Well,
yes,
I mean,
that too.
I mean,
also,
as noble as one can be when one decides to play video games.
Yeah,
real noble.
Yeah, I am just actually right about 12 hours out from my 24-hour gaming marathon that we talked about on the last even episode.
Yeah.
But by the time this has gone up, I've had kidney complications due to the amount of energy drink that I've got sitting in the fridge.
Yeah, I was like, should I try to, like, just butt rush this episode out by tomorrow? And I was like, I think the last thing that Aaron needs is to have people trying to listen to a podcast while he's doing his stream and then asking questions about the podcast.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know. Because also, I have things I want to do tonight. So, on the other hand, this gives me a great reason to not edit it by tomorrow. Because I'm like, well, Aaron's doing his thing, and I need to, you know, solidarity. I got to stand by him, and, you know.
Well, you can have the editing. Maybe you can live post in the Ustream when it goes up.
I don't want to take attention away from your valiant efforts, sir. Also joining us today is Omegas Prime.
I'm getting ready to watch someone do something nobly dumb.
All right, so you're in on it, right? You and me are going to be loitering that stream.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people are going to be loitering that stream, but I have nothing planned for tomorrow. Other than working on projects I can work on at home. And what that means is I am going to have the stream on all day. I might go out for a couple hours, but I'm going to stay in the stream anyway. And I'll come back and I'll go like, hey guys, I'm back. FYI. Like right when Aaron's about to say something really touching about charity, I'll be like, hey guys, hey, guess what? I just bought a burger. Hey guys. Hey.
The true believers will be the ones that are there with me at 3 a.m.
So when is it starting tomorrow?
Starts at 8 a.m.
So you're going 8 a.m. till 8 a.m.
Yep.
All right. I'll probably be asleep until you've been at it for a few hours, but I will be there until closing to make up for it.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm really distracted by that. I should get back on topic here. We're going to talk about Transformers, but I just want to say, because if you're listening to this, you probably will have missed out on it. Aaron, will there be any recordings of the stream?
I will remember to hit record before I start the stream, unlike some people.
You're going to need to check on that recording every couple hours or so.
Okay.
Ustream does have a bit of a limit. So,
okay. Well, I also, I'm not sure how the roommates that are also doing this, how it's all going to work between everything, because I know that they're talking about going over to another friend's that is doing it to play some Cards Against Humanity, and I thought I would take that time to soldier on here and do some of the other games that they may not want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you need any help, I'll be a stone's throw away on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's one other thing I meant to tweet out of. Everybody can follow me or friend me on the Xbox or whatever.
Well, that's going to be
a... probably do that right now while we continue to
record.
Yeah,
making that announcement on here isn't going to accomplish too much.
Yeah, yeah, I'm realizing this as my brain is slowly processing.
Anyway, to keep us
I've
moving...
I've not tried to run a media campaign before, damn it!
We are here to talk to you today about Transformers. We're going to start off with some chatter about some toys. Transformers Arms Micron showed off a whole bunch of new stuff coming out. Between Arms Micron and something I'm going to talk about a little bit later on, I think that we're hitting like a weird, not like the old days, but kind of like the old days period of, oh man, everything's better in Japan. Granted, Arms Micron comes with the massive, massive crutch, I guess. Crutch? No, not crutch. Kind of like the massive debilitation that it involves a whole bunch of kind of sticker work of stickers that don't really stick that well and building little model kits and a slight lack of paint apps. But they're getting a whole bunch of Prime toys. As far as we know, we're not even getting over here in terms of like some of the bits and pieces involved. I mean, they're getting a whole bunch of new Microns with all these toys, but they're also getting some new head molds that we've not seen any info on over here. Specifically, to go with Frenzy, they're getting a Rumble with a new head, and they're getting a Stunticon Wild Rider, which is a Wheeljack with a new head that's not the Dead End head. What? So I think I already have a lot of Arms Micron. I feel like it's not even a question for me anymore of like, oh, do I want to get this thing with this model kit? It's more like, well, do I want to get this one or do I want to wait and see if it goes on sale because no one else wants it? Arms Micron is a nasty, awful thing that's sunk its fangs into my neck. And I don't think I have any more power over what I do in regards to it. You also see Leo Prime, which is a Lyo Convoy-themed recoloring of Thundertron. Fall of Cybertron Shockwave is coming out as Arms Micron, so he's been screwed over out of getting apparently a really nice paint job in their Generations line. And there are also the AMW final releases, 13 and 14, or final as far as we know so far releases, and those are two sets of five to basically do all of the re-releases of guys who haven't been re-released in AMW quite yet. Although that also includes another re-release of Ratchet's Micron, who is everywhere. Anyway, Omegas, what are your thoughts on some of this new Arms Micron stuff?
My wallet hurts.
Mm-hmm. How about your spare time building model kits?
Not actually a lot of that. I actually do have a bunch of mini plots I've been putting off.
Guess what takes up mini plot time? Arms Microns.
Well, I can't be fancy and stream it like some people.
Fancy and stream it? All I did was plunk my laptop down on my kitchen table.
I know, your volume was atrocious, FYI. I'm just going to...
Was it low?
It was kind of low, yeah.
Okay, I was also trying to be quiet because the baby was asleep in the other room.
She just started... Okay, I had a feeling that's what was going on, because whenever you were talking, like, you were like, so, yeah, we're just building this thing over here and working on this. I was like, what? Is this like a painting show? Like, what's going on here?
No, but everything looks really cool. I'm digging the new little Microns. This little bronze octopus guy that comes with Rumble and or Frenzy looks really nice.
Yeah.
There's a weird part of me that kind of doesn't like the idea of having a more G1 head on that mold. I kind of liked the American release kind of getting away from that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I'm cool with it is because, like, one of them has the one head, the other one has the other. So it's kind of a neat way for them to kind of be like twins, except that their faces are kind of different.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I can kind of go with that. Wild Rider is doing everything for me, though.
Oh, he's pretty. And it's a good mold. And his Micron's an elephant!
Oh, it's such a good mold. Is that an elephant? Because...
Or no, it's got tusks. Sorry, it's a mammoth.
Well, it doesn't really have the ears. It looks like a wild boar, the big hunchback.
Oh, it could be. I just saw the long nose. I fixated on that.
Have a thing for noses doing?
Judging things by its nose, that's not fair.
It's just what I do, man. But, man, and a lot of these are Decepticons, and... Like, it's kind of become clear to me the Decepticon Microns are a million times cooler than any of the Autobot ones. So, this is, man. All those mono-eyed little robot animals. Aaron, any thoughts on this Arms Micron stuff yourself?
It's going to be painful. I'm with you. I was doing a pretty good job of being away from it, and now I'm sitting here. I've got a TF source window open because they still have Jet Viacons in stock. And I'm like, well, I don't want just this in my order. What else is in there? Bad day.
Guys, Shockwave's Micron is an insect that turns into a hose to connect his existing gun arm to him somehow.
That just concerns me if he's going to be in the Arms Micron line, if Prime's Shockwave is going to be completely toyless now.
Yeah. If I were to make any predictions, it would be that maybe late 2013 he might get a Voyager. But that's all I would really say. Like late 2013, early 2014. But, you know, I could be completely wrong. He might just show up at the end of next year. Yeah, I am super jazzed for this stuff. The decos look neat. The AMW 5-packs look fun as hell. I really want to get those.
Yeah.
Because I missed out on some of those Microns. I can't really get easily anymore. Like, oddly enough, like B2 or stuff like that. Like the early, like, first six or seven releases, they're chilling out in some web shops, but they're not really on sale. And that's the one thing I managed to do, is not pay $40 for an Arms Micron Deluxe. I've kept it at the, like, 2,000 to 2,200 yen range. And also, like, I am not paying for another Arachnid, so I'm glad that her Micron's coming out in an AMW form. But I'm excited about this stuff. A lot of this stuff is not coming out until, what, January, March 2013, somewhere in that range?
Yeah, these are far looks ahead.
And given that I have sort of started to give up on pre-orders because I'm tired of them, I'm just looking at these, having a good time, and hopefully I'll be able to get them when they come out or soon thereafter. Did I mention that to you guys? That I'm tired of pre-orders?
Maybe.
It's something I've been implementing over the course of this year. I am so tired of having money tied up months in advance. It is frustrating to me. So I'm cutting that stuff out as much as I can. I'd recommend it too. If you find that you're pre-paying or pre-blocking out over $300 3 months in advance regularly, i.e. if you buy a lot of stuff from AmiAmi or HLJ or the like, i.e. if you're a Bandai Vampire victim, consider dropping some of those pre-orders. Anyway, let's move along to some general new pick picks. Omegas, what picture do you have for us today?
Oh, let's see. Where did I put it? Oh, yeah. How can I not talk about the Disney Combiner?
You know what? I had that open already because there's no way between three of us someone wouldn't bring it up.
No. This just demands to be brought. It shocks me that in a world where we can't get some of our favorite combiners back again, we can have Disney characters linking up.
Well, there was some confusion.
You know why? Because Disney has buckets and buckets of money.
What are you talking? You're crazy.
Yeah.
You're crazy, Disney having money.
No, they actually have a bucket that just says money, and it's full of money.
Man. Did you guys catch the slight update that this is not Disney label, but it is actually a Tamashii Nations item?
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a Tamashii Nations thing. Because at first I was like, is this just CG of something from a show they're working on? Like, I didn't clear up if it was actually a toy or not. But on the very top right of that image, you can see the Tamashii Nations logo. But I still don't know if this is just a concept piece or if this is actually a toy.
Seems to be volume 26 of something.
That's the thing, volume 26 of what? That's the thing I don't understand.
Of crazy-ass crossover toys. I don't know.
But, like, I mean, if this is actually a toy, I would legit pick this up. Because it's nuts.
Yeah. Disney labels are one of those things where, it's just weird enough to work. And, okay, yeah, that's intriguing me. This is just completely out there. Like, I have no idea how they even concept something like this.
Steamboat Willie is the head.
As and well it should be.
It looks like Pluto uses a separate doghouse piece as a combiner port. I'm guessing Goofy comes with something as well that forms into that bit up there.
Goofy might be tall enough to get through that, actually.
I guess, maybe. I wish we could see the rest of the scan.
I know, that's bugging me. Get absolutely no shot at Mickey or Donald here.
Yeah, and I need to see what Mickey looks like to figure out what Minnie is doing. Oh man, they have... Hang on, I'm just looking at the names here. Okay, they actually have prefixes. Okay, on the four on the right, they actually have names of them. So from top to bottom, Ace Willy, Aqua Daisy, Sky Mini, and... That's a... Is that a da? Dash. Is that Dashful? Dashful Euchoria? What?
I don't think we can help you here.
The katakana on Pluto doesn't make any sense to me at first glance. I think it says Dashful Inugoya or something like that. I can't tell if there's Dakumans and some of that stuff. But man, Aqua Daisy Ace Willy. The fact that thing is called Ace Willy. Yeah, Ace Willy. They called Steamboat Willy Ace Willy.
Is Mickey called Ace in Japan? What sort of weirdos are they?
No, Ace Willy, Aqua Daisy, and Sky Mini. Like, clearly they're totally sentaiing these dudes up. I love this.
I think they have to kind of roll with that. I can see the wings on Mini, for starters, because these don't look like they have an alt mode. So it's robot combine. Mm-hmm. Some weird aesthetic.
The big text at the top says something Gatai combination King Robo, Mickey, and Friends. That's great. King Robo, Mickey, and Friends is the name of this release. Yeah, we got to get some info on how this is coming out. I'm kind of bummed this is Tamashii Nations, because now it's not going to be like just popping up on the front page constantly. I actually have to do work to find info on it when it comes out or whatever.
God. Yeah, if this were Disney label, it'd be sitting at stores for months on end, going on discount.
I can be sure to get it for like $50. Now it's probably going to be like a $150 item.
Jeez.
Oh man, imagine if this is exclusive to like Disneyland in Japan or something, in like Osaka. Okay, hopefully that's not the case.
Okay, I know you're going up to Universal Studios. Can you pick me up an evac and a giant Disney robot combiner thing? Just look for an acid trip in plastic, and that's probably it.
It's called King Robo Mickey and Friends. It'll make sense when you see it. I bet you that Minnie has something to do with those two giant M's, or she forms a backpack that we can't see right now.
I hope so. Poor Mickey looks like he's in stocks there.
Yeah, I mean, Mickey's pelvis is clearly the pelvis of this robot.
Yeah.
Aaron, any thoughts on this yourself?
Somebody had some good weed.
Because
It looks like the doghouse for Pluto becomes the knee and maybe the thigh.
I bet you it becomes the thigh.
Then maybe Goofy has some other thing that adds on. And it's definitely Donald on the other side from Daisy. Wow.
I will say this. This looks a lot more interesting than the Gosager robot did to me. Going to the whole Bandai aesthetic thing here. And I think this actually looks a lot cooler than a lot of the combined forms of the GoBusters right now. So whoever designed this needs a pat on the back. And this needs to get released in a way that's not too hard to get a hold of. Because, I mean, this thing's going to command Disney money as well. And the Disney collectors are going to go ape balls for something crazy like this. We'll see what happens. Anyway, moving away from that till we get some more solid info. Aaron, what's your new picture pick?
We're seeing more and better pictures of the Micron, to go back to that, the Thundercracker and Orion Pax.
Yeah.
And so Pax has apparently a golden version of that scalpel blade minicon.
Yep. Yet another version of RA is being packed in with him. Gold version. The four rainbow versions were just released as campaign items. There's a shadow RA. There's a lot of RAs.
Although then Thundercracker gets a silver version of the one that came with Skywarp, so...
Yeah, that's only the third version, I think, of Baro. I don't remember. No, I think there was a Shadow Baro as well. So that might be the fourth version.
But, yeah.
I need that Thundercracker.
Yeah, to get all three.
Yeah.
But.
I will predict that Orion Pax is going to not jump up very high on the aftermarket.
Yeah, so are these store exclusive somewhere? I mean, because they have exclusive on the box. Do we know what store it's exclusive to?
Previous news stories revealed what stores they were exclusive to, but I cannot remember off the top of my head. Let me see.
So it's not like a Toys R Us exclusive.
No, no, it's two other department stores.
Oh boy, that'll make it real easy to get.
Well, I think that one of them actually has just as many outlets in Japan, if not more, than Toys R Us, but I forgot which one.
Okay. Like,
I want to say it's the one that's getting Thundercracker, but that might just be me hoping that that's the case, so he's easier to get.
Just your own delusions.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Thundercracker's going to be easy to get. Nah, the store, there's like every corner. They're like the grocery Starbucks store.
They'll have three or four there for me.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like Starbucks in Japan. It's going to be easy. Don't worry. But I am super interested in these. Thundercracker looks like he's using... Okay, well, okay.
Thundercracker is a Yodobashi exclusive, and PAX is a Ritz exclusive.
Okay, Yodobashi is everywhere, so that should not be too difficult.
Okay.
Yodobashi is a huge department store chain in Japan. And what was... what was Orion PAX exclusive to?
Ritz.
Bits?
Ritz.
Ritz. I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
Hey, guess
Rod
what?
On our forums.
If Thundercracker's at a more plentiful department store than Orion PAX, that works out great for everybody involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thundercracker, my only curiosity with him now, because I think we saw pictures of the toy, and I think he used a metallic blue paint, but I'm curious if that's going to carry through to the main toy, because their Arms Micron RC looked all metallic blue on the photos, and
yeah,
that was actually just a very careful Photoshop job on what was just metallic flaked plastic. Who knows? But then again, this mold is first edition Starscream, which is great, and it's in blue, which is a nice color.
Yeah. But I'm excited for those, as I just closed my window with the Jet Viacon order, because yeah, $45 for a deluxe is pretty...
Don't pay $45 for a Jet Viacon.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It'll be some doing, but you should be able to get one for no more than 40, if not 35.
Yeah, I know.
And that's a lot.
But I want it.
No. I know, it's a good toy, but don't fall into the trap of paying 45.
I've got two US Viacons and two Japanese Viacons.
Listen, Voyager Breakdown restocked at AmiAmi for a few minutes last week. Jet Viacon will be back. There's no way that he won't be back.
Okay. Except for we have the General Viacon coming out.
Well, yeah, but
I need two of those. What are those? I need two. Three?
No, five. He's a high-ranking commander. You only need one. That's what I'm telling myself.
Okay.
So I only went with one squadron of three Jet Viacons, so I just need one more to go with them to make it four, and then another named flyer to go with them to make it a nice even five. Yeah, that's how it works. Anyway, here, let me help you out. I'll make you stop thinking about expensive Japanese toys and bring up some expensive Japanese toys.
All right, that makes sense.
We've gotten more images of Takara's upcoming Fall of Cybertron-oriented Generations line. And man, this is like United all over again. This is like, hey, guess what? And this is even more so, because United was still back before the economy really hit domestic Transformers. And Fall of Cybertron is what, and almost more so than Prid, has been hit hard with the need to downsize costs. And now it's coming out in Japan, where they can charge over 2,000 yen per figure. Like, what, they're 2,500 yen each or something like that? And they look like it. Like, the paint jobs on them are all very unique. They look really pretty. Even if they aren't using metallics, just the paint decos on them look really good. Air Raid looks like a different toy. He's like all black. The Bruticus robots look beautiful. They look better.
I'd be afraid to combine them.
That's the one thing I'm curious about, combining them together. I hope that they didn't put any, like, I hope that the combiner ports are as tough as the ones on the retail ones that I have, because everything I'm seeing in these is they've taken the San Diego Comic-Con idea and then they did it better, because they've got just as many paint apps going on, but the colors look a lot less boring to me. Specifically, Blastoff as a really great example of that. Blastoff, Blastoff looks like he's a lot darker in overall tone. Swindle is maybe a little bit too golden, but Vortex is the one also that I think made off really well. If I can just grab his photo here, I think he's at the bottom. Vortex, I think, is he's like the San Diego Vortex that corrects every problem I have with that thing. Because my one problem with the San Diego guys, having looked at them briefly, I still want to get them because I may be able to get them for, like, less than at cost just loose, and I'm fine with that. I still have to sort out how that's all going to work out. But my problem with the San Diego guys is that they ended up looking like three members of the team were pretty much brown. And here you've got a lot more of a marked improvement on that, in that you have a golden vortex, admittedly a somewhat overly golden tan Swindle, and then a bronze, dark brown chromed, and far more black Blastoff. And that, I think, is what was missing from the San Diego set, was making these guys not be three really, really off-brown robots, and then a green guy and the guy in the middle. I'm still a little skeptical about saying, yeah, these are going to look just as metallic until we get Optimus and Jazz, I believe in December. That's going to be when I make a decision about this. And only because of the Photoshoppery that happened with the ARMS Micron toys.
Right.
It's already been said to me that these are a higher price point. These are either a higher price point or they're the same price point, but without the Micron, which could mean that justifies a better paint job. And I'm certainly not trying to say I think these are not going to have a very nice paint job. I'm just trying to be a little bit cautious right now before trying to throw down a bunch of pre-orders I don't actually want to do. Ideally, I'd like to not pre-order any of these and just hold out that I can find them at a good price once they release, because I don't want to commit to stuff. I'm a non-committal person. But I think that just the paint decos themselves, even if they're super flat, and I doubt they will be, these will probably be metallic. They look really good in terms of the placement of apps, especially on the Bruticus guys.
Right.
So I'm really happy about seeing this. Aaron, how do you feel about Generations coming back from Japan?
They're looking good. I almost think some of those photos suffer from being a little bit too tight.
Mm-hmm.
Upon it, the sideswipe profile, like that face shot, you can see a little like ripple or hair or something in the paint.
Someone dropped it.
That's a case of extreme close-ups taken just too far.
Yeah.
But no, I'm excited for it. I definitely want to see somebody taking real good side-by-sides that's not then photoshopping and retouching to make one look spectacular.
Yeah, I think my kind of, what's the word I'm searching for here? My line in the sand is I'm hoping that these end up being like the side-by-side pics of United Jazz and Drift with their North American counterparts.
Yeah.
Like that kind of, like, this looks a lot nicer. So, I mean, granted, these are more expensive as well, but it's funny to me because it's always been the age-old joke of, like, everyone wants what's from Japan because it's better. And I think it's kind of funny that, you know, every time Japan starts doing one of these Generations or United or Henkei-type lines, United and Generations specifically, they kind of bring back that old feeling that we had back in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Just briefly. But who knows? This might actually go really bad, too. This might end up being, like, some of the United toys I wasn't as into, like friggin' Scourge. Omegas, how you feeling about the prospects of Japanese Generations?
Oh, they are so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so tempted on these. And what surprised me was I was looking through these, just trying to find out what was different between the two, and then I hit Air Raid. This was like night and day compared to the US release.
Mm-hmm.
I'd almost go as far as to say that the two Air Raids are apples and oranges, because it seems like they're going for completely different ideas in their decos.
Is Air Raid actually in the game, or
he's in the game? Yeah. But I can't remember if he actually uses the Shockwave model or not.
Well, is either one of these even remotely going for the color scheme? Because both of them are going for such different tones here.
I can't tell you off the top of my head.
Oh, and
doing research during a podcast, that's someone else's job. I mean, this Generations one, like, the wings in particular seem like they're going for a bit of a G1 tinge.
Yeah, there's a little bit more on the G1 there.
Yeah, it's very, very slight. But
very, yeah.
Just being black with red stripe bits on the outsides or whatever.
Yeah, that was almost boring. Yeah, that's where you can really see it, because in the US's jet mode, it's all, if that is a jet mode, almost all maroon and gold. There's barely any other color to see through, and mostly that's just dark gray after that. No, it was jet black everywhere on the Takara version. It's God, I already thought Air Raid looked nice. I was really, really getting geared up for them. And then Takara goes and goes, which one you want again?
And it's very apples and oranges, because it's like, do you want Air Raid to be black, or do you prefer the slightly lighter tone on him? Like,
just that gold and maroon looks so nice, but gold and black look nice, too.
See, the way I'm seeing it is, just get the Japanese Air Raid and get the American one and call him Fireflight.
Why do I podcast with you again?
Because I'm real helpful.
You do nothing but drain my money.
I solve your problems for you. The American one was originally going to be Fireflight anyway, wasn't he? Like, wasn't that the name we got for him first?
Yeah.
So let's just call him Fireflight. And then the Takara one is, Takara Tomy one is Air Raid. There you go. Now you got two Fall Cybertron aerial bots. It's even better.
What is your solution to everything? Buy it both.
That's the easier solution. Less thinking.
Not financially.
Aaron, how are you feeling about some of this Takara Tomy generation stuff?
Didn't we do me already?
Oh, God, we are time traveling.
I just want to know again. Do you think this stuff's going to stack up with the current Classics line? I mean, we just got Jazz, and you know, he looks okay, but he's missing some paint apps, and his plastic's a little bit off-white.
Yeah.
You think Takara can bring that around, maybe whiten that plastic up a bit?
Sure.
I mean, everything's better in Japan. So.
Always.
Yeah.
What are we talking about again?
Which Bruticus do you guys want to go for? Do you want to sink the
one
extra money into the...
I canceled my G2
I've got
Amazon.
One. Yeah, I've got the San Diego Comic-Con, and I'm holding my pre-order for number two.
Are you guys thinking of dropping the money for this Bruticus, or are you going to wait to see if he's actually metallic or not? Or are you just going like, no, fool,
if
you go do that.
No, if I get another Bruticus aside from the G2 one, I'm getting it because I want to play with the molds and not break my big expensive versions.
So you don't want to get another big expensive version?
No, that defeats the point.
Understandable. I really hope that some of you guys in the States get a chance to get the retail Bruticus for a good price, because that's a toy that really is great if you don't have to worry about it, because then you can get the inexpensive one if you really like the look of it, but you can just like experiment with the retail ones and then apply that to the expensive one. I'm basically giving the whole mission statement on why everyone should just order, you know, you should just buy all the Bruticuses. Just have, you know, four or five of them. Because then you can have all these different layouts on Bruticus. I mean, it's the obvious choice.
Here's this thing you have again.
I don't know what you're talking about. Moving on from New Pick Picks, let's talk about... Hey, guess what? Let's talk about even more toy pictures. So we started off on toy pictures. We just talked about toy pictures. So I'm going to end on a few more toy pictures here. New York Comic Con came and went. We talked about it a bit on 221. But now we've also got the high-res PR images. So I want to hear your guys' thoughts on New York Comic Con stuff. Aaron.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on New York Comic Con stuff?
Okay, a whole statement. All right. the little bit that I saw, because I was actually out and away on vacation, the little bit that I saw on my phone at the time was like, wow, that looks like they just took a whole lot of Prime toys and put sharp points on it. And then with these nice high-res photos, I see that they took a whole lot of Prime toys and put sharp points on them.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems. I like the look of some of the Creo things. However, you can tell that this is all like CG, not actual toys. So I don't know. When it comes to block building things, that CG can be pretty darn close. At the same time, it can also be quite far away from how it actually ends up looking.
Would you say they were mocking those designs?
What do you mean? They're mock-ups?
No, like that Lego term you guys have, mocking.
Oh, MOCing.
Yeah.
Not really, because it's from the official, so it's not like my own creation.
Oh, I forgot that's what it stood for. Okay, never mind. I'm back on the page.
The one I am excited about in a weird way, and not actually for the toy, but for the name, is Coradra. Because rather than just saying, and the snake guy, or Snakeabot, or something goofy, they went and made sure that Coradra was something that they used, and then used it to lock it in. So, kudos.
Yeah, but a touch disappointing for people who heard the name first.
Yeah. I will not argue that it is kind of an oddball looking thing to be called Coradra, but at the same time,
it's a blue snake. It works.
Yeah.
It's not Night Viper.
Yeah.
I miss Night Viper, man. That was a good toy.
But I like the looks. It's a couple of the Cyberverse playset massive things that I'm not going to buy, but we'll look at from afar. Because those look like they're the mech suit ones, which are the larger, more expensive ones, but we get two like big friggin' walker things, so.
I really like Cyberverse playsets.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't. Life would be easier if I didn't like Cyberverse playsets.
I'll just be like me and pick them up, look at them, and go, eh. Okay. Oh no, it looks like it's one vehicle and one of the mech walker things. Okay.
And the mech walker
just
thing
just very slightly better.
The mech walker thing comes with a green breakdown.
Yeah.
How does any of that work?
It doesn't. It doesn't need to, though.
Yeah. Is that mechwalker thing new, or is that just the Bumblebee mechwalker?
I don't think that's the Bumblebee mechwalker, because I think the Bumblebee one is very Bumblebee-ish.
Is it the alt mode looks kind of similar? I mean, granted, they both kind of look like a thing that fell apart, sort of.
Well, yeah, they both look like Ripley's power loader type of things.
It looks like it might be the same chassis, just with a different chest plate, but I also don't have the Bumblebee one nearby.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, there's only so much that you can do and keep these being inexpensive.
Yeah.
It may be the same hardware with different furniture put on the outside of it, but c'est la vie.
Mm-hmm. I also just want to briefly point out, I have a suspicion that Legends or Legion smokescreen is a heavy reshelling with a new chest with articulated doors of the Legends knockout, but don't hold me to that.
No, I will.
Adding further fuel to the smokescreen is a reshelled knockout dealy.
The only thing that has me interested in the redos of the toys is the fact that they have the Mondo weapons that look like they're getting tremendous paint on them, which makes me think that that's just the mock-up hand-painted versions, and you're not going to get anything near as cool-looking. Because the staff that Wheeljack comes with like the black wash down it, looks just awesome, but I figure it won't come like that at the end.
Why you gotta be such a pessimist?
Because I understand economies of toy.
Why do you gotta be so understanding of economies of toy?
Because I'm a realist.
Look at you being real. Omegas, how you feeling about some of this stuff? I guess primarily Beast Hunters.
Everyone is competing for my money now.
Mm-hmm.
Here, hang on. I'm doing a quick little thing here. Yeah, that's the Bumblebee suit.
Ah.
Okay.
I thought that looked familiar.
It's got a new weapon and chest armor, but all the rest does match up.
Ah. Okay. I don't know why I'm so jubilant about that, but I am.
I mean, what else did we get out of Comic-Con?
Oh, yeah, Creo Beast Hunters and the looks at the decos and packaging for that Omega Supreme and Optimus Prime.
Oh, yeah.
God. Part of me is like really starting to suspect that one of the reasons we got smaller toys was so that they could come with bigger accessories like this later on.
Yeah.
Because it does add a lot of incentive, because you think about it, when they approach toys now, they have to try and keep them in character so kids can recognize them, which is why you get lots of yellow and black Bumblebees. So it gets really boring and really tedious to collect them. But if they do the same thing, but now, We can afford some heavy remolding and a massive crossbow with missile launchers on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit better than just throwing it out there with like a race deco.
Yeah, or I'm just curious if like this is an experimentation in like because I don't know, it's weird because I mean these are technically the same toys but with lots of new pieces on them. So like, are these remolds or is there enough new componentry on here that it calls for almost an entirely new steel mold?
It seems.
Well,
so...
I mean, when you're doing a remold like that, you're making a new steel mold.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
because it's not like they can just paint those bits onto it. It's
yeah. I mean, this is more than just like a new head mold that might be something you can just carve into the existing steel mold. Like,
yeah,
that's why I mean, the weapons and the extensive spikery have my attention. Not in like an I gotta buy this right now kind of way, but like I really want to pick some of these up and like hold them next to the originals and see like how much new componentry is there on here, or did they figure out a way to just glue pieces on, or like what's going on? Like, and I doubt anything's glued on. Like,
yeah, you know. I'm saying it's all new hardware. It's just a matter of how it's dressed.
Yeah, like new hardware on the same skeletons kind of thing.
Yeah,
right.
That way they don't have to design a new transformation method. They don't have to do any of that stuff. It's just whip out a new body and go from there.
Is this would be a whole new timeline to consider as well, right? Because this would the 2-year timeline is for a new Transformer from the ground up. But what's the timeline on an existing Transformer where almost every body part has been remolded to such a way that you need to make a new steel mold for it? Like, it's not going to be 2 years, but would that be like a 1-year timeline or a 6-month timeline? Like, I'm curious now.
It's kind of hard to say. I don't think we've ever had something like this in a Transformer line before.
Or at least not line-wide.
Like, not line-wide, no. I mean, we've had, like, Dark Crumple Zone.
Yeah,
where it's, like, tons of new remolded parts onto an existing toy, but...
Or
there's a bunch of examples here.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the Jet Viacon is a real easy recent example, where his engineering is literally just the Viacon, but nearly every single piece of him is new. Odd, man. Crazy.
I am really liking how they look, though.
What do you think of Laserback?
Laserback. Ooh, the one that everyone keeps calling R.I.D. Bruticus.
I was going to ask you about how you feel about the color scheme on him.
I don't mind the color scheme really all that much. I mean, he's solid enough in his construction that he kind of pulls it off a lot better.
Yeah, I love Rid Bruticus. So I seeing a color scheme homage had me like giddy for a sec. Like, it doesn't look like a stunning toy or anything, but like I like the idea of that color scheme getting revisited, because the Rid Bruticus toy, that toy needs to come out again with like new paintwork that accentuates all of its parts.
Yeah.
Like that toy needs a second coming, like Energon Shark to Kong God. It's certainly not as good, but it needs a second coming.
Other than that, I mean, I am digging this like this ferocious aesthetic they're going for on these. You know, Wheeljack looks awesome. I can see a lot of the paint apps aren't gonna make it to toy though, which makes me sad. It still looks really cool though. It'll get me to buy another Bumblebee. What I'm really digging out of this is all the dragons we're getting.
Yeah, I mean,
we're getting a Sinner Twin.
Sinner Twin homage had me smiling. I'm wondering if this is going to be a way for them to just like figure out some cool like Terracon homages without having to commit to any kind of combiner.
Well, yeah, I can see that. Just I can see that getting repainted into Hunger in like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I'm really digging this. I hate that they're teasing this robot mode on Predaking though. I want to see that so bad.
Yeah.
That is an awesome dragon.
I mean, we saw the head, and we saw the here's what he looks like from underneath. Being a Voyager, I mean, I'm not expecting this to be Toy of the Year material, but it looks like it could be some pretty interesting aesthetics and like a really sleek, spiky black
kind of
look.
Yeah.
Well, what I liked about the dragons is they admitted that we're going to have multiple toy packaging. We're going to have variable bubble size here, because apparently the dragons are bigger than the existing Prime toys. Because you'll notice they don't come with any of the big, heavy, you know, mech tech weapons or anything like that.
Yeah. And,
yeah. Yay. Yeah. Predaking does not have a big plastic lump with a light in it.
That makes me really curious about if they've managed to up the budget slightly on this line. So it's like our existing toys can be almost fully remolded with huge accessories and our new molds can just be big.
Well, it seems the big seems to just be a trade-off for not having those giant weapons in them, which I'm very thankful for. You know, the toy. You know, I mean, if they're looking this good, I want to see them as good as they could possibly be without, you know, without a gimmick like that kind of shoehorned in. Mm-hmm. Though he is getting the Cybertron Scourge gimmick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently those Hydra blaster things are also going to be removable and used as weapons in robot mode or something, which is cool. I like the idea. Did you guys see Viking Bulkhead?
Yes.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
Roadbuster here.
With a friggin' Viking.
Yeah, at least it's not Ultra Magnus getting that repaint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I entirely forgot to say the Arms Micron Ultra Magnus is coming with a minicon that turns into a hammer. I don't know if you guys know this, but Fake Busker on Shapeways has a Seismeister. What's his name? The Seismus, the Smash Master, or something. And it's like a little Shapeways robot that turns into a hammer. I kind of want to get that now for a side by side comparison.
I'm digging the Creon stuff too.
Hmm.
Trail Cutter.
Yeah, so he's trail cutter, right?
Or Trail Breaker. I get anything that's Trail Breaker.
Because the pictures from the slideshow called him Trawl Cutter.
Trawl Cutter.
And I was like, is poor Trail Breaker getting yet another, like, name mishap and yet another, like, tiny version of himself that isn't as big as the original? Like, poor Trail Breaker, he just got screwed over, man. It's like they keep him around because he's, like, got tenure and he's, like, someone's brother, but, like...
Yeah.
Just treat them like crap.
We've got to do at least one of these toys or else some union contract stipulations kick in. And last time,
Trailbreaker's just in the room. He's like, I know you all hate me. Poor guy.
I think the one we kind of forgot to bring up, how much better does that Arachnid look?
The Legion one?
Yes.
Yeah, that looks better than I remember the CAD and prototype pictures looking. I mean... I think that also the perception changes a lot because we've just gone through like an atrocious deluxe version. So seeing something that has like a silhouette is already a marked improvement.
Yeah. Although at the same time, I mean, how much better does that look than the Arachnid is a very simple statement. How much better does this gushing head wound look than that Arachnid?
Okay. Okay. Point. Point made.
Oh, look at you guys and your metaphors. I completely missed this picture. There's a Cyberverse Commander Predaking picture of him in a dragon mode. I'd miss that. The one thing I wanted to bring up before we move on. The new Soundwave chest robot, Ravage. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Looking at how he mounts on Soundwave, it looks like he doesn't really like transform nearly as much as Laserbeak. Like, it looks like Ravage just kind of jumps up and clings onto Soundwave's chest.
Daddy!
That's how it looks to me. I don't know if I'm missing something. Maybe he's upside down.
It looks like the limbs do go in the same way Laserbeak does.
No, he's upside down. His head is point is like on Soundwave's stomach, pointing towards his waistline.
God. He's like one of those stick-up Garfields.
How he can plug on any which way.
Yeah. Ravage, get on my chest.
I think the other one confused me is why we're getting a Jeep Bumblebee all of a sudden.
A what?
It's one of the Creos they revealed.
Oh, yeah, the Jeep Bumblebee.
Is that actually a Jeep Bumblebee?
That's a Jeep Bumblebee.
Yeah, it's got no roof.
The head is Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's even got a Creon Bumblebee that's modeled like a Jeep.
That's weird.
Because I was trying to think of if there was any other... yellow Jeeps.
That does not fit my range. Bumblebee is a Camaro, not a Jeep.
Yeah.
Can we get that started? Can we get that going?
He's always been a Camaro, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
jeez.
Bumblebee is a Jeep is ruining my childhood.
Screw you, Michael Bay.
No, no, screw you, Prime. Michael Bay's the only true Transformers fan or something.
Screw you, Hugo Weaving?
Yeah.
Screw that guy for thinking a job's just a job.
Screw that guy for non-committally saying he didn't hear much about the role a few years after he had it. What? Hey, let's move along. Beast Hunter stuff. Sounds like you guys are kind of digging it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of digging it huge.
Good to hear.
Just on the record.
I'm still, I'm not lukewarm really on it. I'm just like, I'll like it probably once I see it, but I'm not chomping at the bit for it, which is nice. I don't feel like, oh man, I can't wait for Beast Hunters. Like, I feel like I can catch it when it comes out and be satisfied. You guys want to do a listener voicemail?
Sure.
Rhetorical question, of course.
Why not?
Yeah, because you're going to play it anyway.
Yep.
Might as well not fight it and deal with it.
Yeah. Well, let me twiddle this dial, and let's get ready for some voicemail action.
Hello, WTF at TFW crew. This is Alan Guru from the boards calling with another listener question. Hypothetical situation time. Due to the effects of the Unicron singularity, the very existence of Transformers as a brand has been threatened. In order to save the franchise, one of the main casts of the G1 cartoon must cease to have ever existed. Who do you choose to make this sacrifice, and why? Thank you for your time, and I've had a wonderful time listening to the podcast.
Oh, no click. All right, what G1 character do you nullify from ever having existed to save the universe? Omegas.
Trailbreaker.
That's why he doesn't contract. Get
anything. That's why he doesn't get anything.
You know what?
He's been nullified from existence.
Who would ever notice if Trailbreaker ceased to exist?
Me, and that might be it.
Yes, put him out of his misery.
Maybe it's already happened.
Yeah, we're just seeing the aftershocks. Yeah, Trailbreaker, he's always been a mini-bot, right?
We're just seeing the time ripples at this point, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, just nullify him. Put him out of his misery. Trailbreaker would probably welcome it. He'd be like, yeah, do it! What can I do anyway? I can shoot force fields. Who does that anyway? You're like, Trailbreaker, put that razor blade down. No, I'm just shaving! That's why his legs are red, because he's bleeding on them all the time. That's a horrible joke. What are you talking about? That's terrible. But not really.
So dark and edgy.
Dark and edgy. Trailbreaker cuts his face with a shaving knife so that he can bleed on his legs. You could call him Emo Breaker. What up? It's 2008. Poor Trailbreaker. I feel really bad for Trailbreaker now. I want to commission a Radicon to, like, make a really nice classics Trailbreaker toy.
Where's the third party?
I know! They left him behind, too! They're making throttle bots! Before Trailbreaker!
We're getting mini bots that already have new toys.
I know! Poor Trailbreaker's left on... You know what? Third party is not finished until they make us a Trailbreaker. Guess what? They're probably going to make a hoist first, but nonetheless.
It'll just be a pallet swap.
Throw something just make on top the of hoist. His head. They'll be like, yo, guys, we made hoist. You're all happy, right? Trailbreaker's like, starts cutting himself on the face again. Don't worry, I have force fields. Man, yeah, third parties. Come on. I mean, Trailbreaker has clearly not just been abandoned, but reduced to a parody by his benevolent parent company, who they something about the poor guy. They just keep him around, but only to humiliate him. Come on, where's our PPTB07 like pathway divider or whatever. Episode 222. It's the day we decided that Trailbreaker needs to have his day. All right, Aaron, who would you nullify from existence?
Are we talking OG G1 or current G1?
I think it was implied to be OG G1.
Damn, I can't say Sunstorm because I hate Sunstorm with passion.
Oh, but Sunstorm
is
one of the greatest new characters to grace our franchise.
No, but he was in there. He was that kind of yellow one that had 8 frames. Sorry.
Do you have something you need to say about Sunstorm?
I don't know why. It just makes me angry. It's like just we splash a different color on something, and now we pretend like he's the greatest ever.
Hey, man, he has a masterpiece toy. With his own coronation set. Emperor Sunstorm.
Remember the calming energy that's going to come tomorrow out of torturing myself.
So now I know what to say in the chat tomorrow when Aaron's like getting really infuriated when someone has him playing Trials or whatever.
So then beyond that, I don't know. It's rough because there are so many non-characters in G1 anyway. So many, hi, I'm here to have a toy sold. Okay, my toy sold, I'm gone. You know, Sunstreaker, Sideswipe, any of those guys, pretty much any of the Dotson triplets.
Mm-hmm.
Any one of those could disappear easily. Prowl? No, I like Prowl.
Can't do Prowl. He's reunited. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, though, how much of what we like of Prowl again comes out of comics or things later other than OGG1?
Yeah, but this is nullifying him from there, thus he would not exist. There's a ripple effect, everything. Man. You'd nullify him out of the comics, too.
Blue Streak. He's an also-ran.
Yeah, F that guy.
Because Smokescreen's doing all right now.
Hey, guess what? No more Blue Streak hoaxes.
I know I had a blue streak. Yeah,
hey,
I did.
You know what? Yeah, screw. Hey, guess what? Let's nullify Blue Streak and give everything he ever had to Trailbreaker. Then Trailbreaker might actually get a deluxe toy someday.
No, I like this plan. Hey, don't get your hopes that high.
Hey, listen, right? Dreamer's dream, okay? Hey,
dream
guys,
can't come true if you've never dreamed.
Do any of you remember DevCon?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
What? What was that for?
Nothing. I was just saying the listener question's over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for your listener voicemail, Alan Garou. We also have a written listener question, which comes in from Rucky Ducky. This came in June. Rucky Ducky says, "Dear WTFTFW crew, it's Rucky Ducky again with a couple more listener questions. To preface these, I wanted to say that in the coming months, I'm going to start my freshman year of college. Probably already started. So these are two questions related to that. And by virtue of when this question came in, I'm going to probably orient my answers to assuming you're already there and have are
that would be logical conclusion.
Yeah. Question number one: what kind of stuff, how much stuff, toy-wise, should I bring as a first-time college student, and how niche can it be? I want to bring a couple of my figure arts and six-inch figures, and maybe the Transformers Prime figures I have. Should I leave things the my BotCon 2012 stuff at home, or bring only a couple of my favorite figures until I grab an apartment in like my junior year? Here's my recommendation. That sounds like a good plan. Just bring a couple figure arts, bring a little bit of everything, and make it a mixture of your favorites and whatever you just got, because that's the stuff you're going to enjoy the most probably, or at least that's the stuff that you're likely to miss if you don't bring it along. However, as far as like niche, like it can be as niche as you want, as long as it's not like friggin' like Queensblade Reveltex or something with like, you know, the add-on liquid spurts for the genital egg holes or whatever, then you're probably, no one's going to judge any harsher than anything else you can have sitting out there.
High PG rating.
I didn't say anything vulgar. All right, I was just being medical about stuff.
All right.
Don't bring too much with you. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I'd say at least bring something that's not niche. Like,
yeah.
Because
yeah, that's something.
Conversation. But
it's also going to depend on like what sort of housing you've got. Are you in a dorm? Is it a small dorm room? I mean, these are things that you've probably by now, you know, figured out and sorted out yourself
sitting
as you're coming up towards the break.
Three crates of figure arts going like, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, if you're a CityBot collector, I would recommend not holding a whole lot of them.
When I was at Purdue, I had a small dorm room, and I hardly had space for myself in there. So if you've got something like that, a couple of Fiddleformer, you know, maybe a couple of deluxes that can sit on your desk and not be in the way of other stuff. You know, that may be what you got to go for. I'd definitely say don't bring anything expensive.
Yeah, bring stuff that can break.
Yeah, bring stuff that can break or that can just plain disappear.
Yeah. Or if it's valuable, keep it in a drawer.
Yeah, if it's valuable, keep it at home.
Well, that's my other question, or at least that's going to be the variable, right? Is he going to college in his hometown where he can just put stuff in storage or keep it with his family? Or is he going to college abroad? And does he have a place for his stuff that he's not bringing with him?
Yeah.
That also changes the answer slightly. Like, if it's all local, then just don't bring much because it'll all be in storage, or you just visit your parents' place or whatever if they're letting you keep stuff there, and don't worry about it. If you're abroad and you don't have anywhere to put stuff, that's a much bigger question. That's something where, you know, this is not going to help you now, but that's a question of do you want to just do a purging and rebuy stuff after college that you really do miss? Straight, like, though, that is really a big part of this. Like, what do you do with what you don't bring?
Yeah.
And what's your situation there? But otherwise, yeah, like try to keep it to stuff that is fiddleable, that's conversationable, a couple niche things for yourself, and try not to bring anything that you'd be devastated to lose. And like fig arts, you know, they're not cheap, but most fig arts can be rebought easily. So, you know, if you bring like a fig arts toy and someone swipes it, you know, you're out $40. That sucks. But it's not an impossible $40 rebuy either.
Yeah.
You bring like your Lucky Draw, or you bring like your Fans Project Bruticus or something, that could go a little bit worse.
Yeah.
Moving into the second question, which is, this is something we could help out with more easily. What is a good way to budget toy purchases as a college student with little to no income, unless YouTube funds pick up at some point? There are things I want to keep purchasing, like the Prid stuff and the new generations, but what's a good way to figure out what to buy and how to buy it? small caveat on this one. Never assume YouTube funds will pick up. Make that be a happy surprise if YouTube funds
pick
up.
Make that the fun money.
Yeah, yeah, and, right. And any YouTube money you get, like, if you've got your budget already solid, that all can become fun money. Otherwise, like, make sure, especially if you've got no income and no financial help whatsoever yourself other than, like, a student loan, make sure you're settling all your living and, even more importantly, school costs ASAP.
Yeah.
Especially if your school is doing like payment installments, and if your loan is in installments, you're not going to be able to do this. But if you end up getting like your loan in one big whack, and unless this is like a real skeevy looking school, you know, pay as much of the school as you can in each installment so you can get those payments over with, and then they're out of your budget, and you'll have less money, but you'll have one less budget item as well. And yeah, like, I mean, Prid stuff and new generations, one thing I'd recommend is, I don't know how plentiful sales are in the States right now, but wait for sales if you can, because that is a great way to save money, like the dollar or two here and there.
Yeah, in reality, buying toys at that point is probably a pretty low priority.
I mean, you square.
It's like any budget. I mean, you square away everything that you know. Okay, this is how much my food is, my materials for classes. Okay, if I, you know, this much for new supplies, pencils, etc. You know, square away. You know, figure out how much it's going to be on a monthly basis, and whatever's like squirreled away after that, you save a little bit of money to actually socialize because you're in college, for God's sakes, meet people.
Mm-hmm. But I mean,
and
like
that toy budget needs to be like that small little chunk that, you know, is left over after everything.
If you do truly, like, if you just love toys and, like, you get that rush from getting a new toy, like, well, number one, it is great that you're only thinking about domestic retail Transformers, because that is a lot easier than if you were going to say that you're actually looking to keep up with fig arts and stuff, because that's a lot harder. That's, like, worrying about mail drops and whatnot. So, like, if it's just, like, you're going to do a Walmart run or a Toys R Us run now and then just do it now and then. Like, the best way to not spend money is to not go to places where you can spend money. So try to, like, one thing that could help is keep your toy hunts down to once every week or two.
Yeah.
Tops. That helps immensely.
Also, with the lines that we have now, you can go for the Panacea if you really must have something and get a couple of Legends.
Yeah.
Because works into the saving space and saving money.
And they are bad toys. There's some
really
cool
Legends. Because I've got 9 Legends here on my desk, and they take up very little space, and they're easy fiddle formers, especially while podcasting or gaming or something. And
right. Yeah, and
or
back
you can
to
go
the...
for Microns like some of the others aren't, because they're almost Legends, and it's not like they don't cost way too much.
Are all your Legends Viacons, though, or are they actually different toys?
No, all the Legends Viacons are in a pile over there.
Just in a pile? This is like a sock?
They're breeding. They're more than I remember.
Yeah, the ones that don't fit with your worldview of how many you bought, you just stuff into a sock and just keep them in the corner.
That should be Aaron's timer during the stream. It's just like 24 Viacon set up, and just every hour just knock one down.
Every hour just throwing out the window.
Just throw one in the trash. I'll still have a dozen or so left over.
I just like the idea of keeping all the Viacons you don't want to remember buying in a sock. So it's like your rainy day Viacon bag. So you're like, man.
All the ones I don't remember buying. No, I'd need more than a sock.
Okay, a stocking,
like those crazy
man.
Christmas stockings, you know? That sock might work.
All right, two socks. Knee highs.
I somehow have 10 sealed Viacons still.
How do you still have 10 sealed Viacons?
Because there are 10 that I didn't open?
How long has it been?
Oh my god!
I've not bought in quite a while. I've been clean.
Man.
I've got my chip.
Okay. All transparency, I have 2 sealed Viacons because I have 3 open.
Okay. I have 2 that were gifts to me that I'm keeping specially. And then I have the 6 that I acquired at BotCon, a 7th that I bought as a lark from the U.S.
Oh, the one that you bought as a lark.
A lark. As opposed to the other 2 dozen.
Hey, dark times, man. You don't understand. And yeah. Then the 2 Japanese ones. I got one. I had one. No, the one U.S. one that's still sealed over there that's not the 6 from BotCon came from a big bad order. Yeah. And a Japanese one from a big bad order. And then a Japanese one from BotCon.
So, Aaron's answer to your question, Rocky Ducky, is don't do what he does. He'll be fine.
God, I have 1. What is wrong with you people?
Well, you need a couple, man.
You need a couple. Yeah. No, because hey, I had somebody give me the best idea of Fort Max next to Brave Max with Metroplex and the Viacon swarming him.
Oh, God, that would be sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did this crazy thing where I saved my money for actual Viacons.
I don't know. I don't care what the rest of the statement is. It's wrong. I don't know. What the heck?
So back to the question at hand, Rocky Ducky. Keeping it to retail is good. Reduce your trips out to toy store areas or your toy purchasable areas to maybe, like, you know, as little as possible. Stay on campus, maybe, or just stay with people who can keep you busy and occupied so you won't remember you could have gone toy hunting till you get home. Keep it clean. Keep your pants on. Budget in front of toys first. And, depending on your situation, always feel like if you think a toy's getting boring, just take it back to wherever you've got storage going on. And if you've got, if everything is local, you can quote-unquote get new toys by every month or so bring a few back to storage and try to dig around and find some that you haven't messed with for a long time because you've been out at college. Those are as fun as new toys for a little while.
Also, a thing I just thought about right now, if you can get rid of toys, unlike me, put them up for sale and fund, you know, you're not going to get your $15 back out of a deluxe, but if you get $8 or $9 out of it, maybe somebody local or something like that, then that's something else that can go back into your budget.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, by all means, like, toy collecting right now, I mean, it is a bit more expensive than it was, you know, 10 years ago, but it's also still quite doable. Toys have been getting smaller, and that actually kind of is nicer for keeping more around, because they take up less room. But it is totally doable, and, you know, I hope things are going well down at college. I hope that you've had a good first couple months or so. And I hope this can still help somehow. I hope we're not getting this to you after you've had, like, a masterpiece toy stolen and you've had, like, you know, 3 crates of unopened toys, like, under your desk for the last month or so. Like, you know, well, it's all situational. Let us know. Send us an update, man.
And we'll get to it just before summer break.
Just before you graduate, we'll get to it. After, you know, right before you finish your 4 years, we'll let you know how things went. So thank you for your listener question. I think it's time for us to take a little break, and then we'll be back with some What We Got This Week. What do you think, gentlemen?
Sounds like a plan.
Indeed.
All right. Talk to you in a bit. Na, na, na,
na, na, na. Hey, hey, hey.
Goodbye.
With Kohler's powerful high-efficiency toilets, flush and done.
We back we rolling. We preparing for next year's. I forgot the name of the thing you're doing.
Extra Life.
Extra Life. I'm the best proponent of Extra Life ever. Yeah, what's that thing called?
That thing with the stuff.
Extra credits.
The charity thing was just a job to me. I don't really remember it that well.
Charity was... Yeah.
Like 2 hours work and out the door.
Anyway, we're going to talk to you guys today about what we got this week. Aaron, why don't you start us off?
All right. So for Transformers, met up with a friend of the podcast and very good friend of mine, Kristen. Mm-hmm. Also Alfie Casey something on Twitter. I forget what her Twitter handle is. But she had managed to pick up a whole lot of Prime toys for me. She picked up a Viacon and a Rumble and a Cup in the Kansas City area that I've only seen one store have remnants of. So got that going for me. The Viacon, again, it's a Viacon. I need Viacons. I really dig on Cup. I'd gotten previously to play with an Ironhide. And I think I like the Ironhide's colors more. But it's still a great mold. Very, very solid. Holds about any pose I put it in. Actually did a good job of holding up the big Star Saber and shield. Or not Star Saber, but the big sword Cosmo and Tector. Shield. Yeah, sure. And that none of the other figures that I had at the table were able to hold. So they're good toys. That's a good mold. The biggest problem that I've had is... the center part of the panel of the hood that clips over so that he has like the truck part there pops off incredibly easy to the point of frustration. So actually what I end up doing, and it makes it look a little bit better, is pop it off as I'm transforming it and then take it and clip it on backwards and it holds a better line. So he doesn't have something big, weird. It's a big, weird flap behind his head. It kind of folds down a little bit more.
Oh, that's what I do, too. I think that's become, like, a kind of, like, it's accepted that that's not a cheat anymore. That's just, like, a... Like, it fits angularly that space so well that I think it was meant to swivel around and that got cut out of the budget somewhere.
Yeah, that could well be, too.
Yeah.
So then what was the other one? Rumble is pretty cool. He's got a big Gurren Lagann vibe with the face on the chest. And the fact that it's very easy to transform him and leave it that way.
I want that Rumble so much. The Repro Label set that just got released for him looks gorgeous.
Yeah. But of the two, I think I like Cup better. I did also see a Radicon that had managed to put, I think it was one of the Dr. Wu heads on him. But it had some serious... grafting to get it to that point. Mm-hmm. Both fun toys. If you see them and you are a fan of Prime, pick them up. Like I said, Viacon's a Viacon. Also got Dreadwing. We were killing a bit of time and had asked, hey, is there any stores up in this area of Ken, Noise Maze? And he said, yeah, there's one Target, but yeah, they've never got anything. Okay, go. Sitting right up front was a Dreadwing. It's like, yep, must never have nothing there. And so then he's like, well, anytime I go, it's a barren wasteland. I'm like, well, you apparently don't have the magic touch or some such. But GOG has him and it talked about him a lot. Very good, very, very good jet mode. And the only... rough, as I make air quotes near the microphone, part is that you see a bit of hands in the jet mode, but everything else clips and holds together so well that's not a issue. That's like, well, if that's what I have to have this jet, that you can hold it by a wing and shake it, and it all will, except for the flappy bits on the wings, hold together pretty well. It is great, great design. The mech tech weapon is a mech tech weapon that actually looks pretty close to what he'd have in the show, except for, oh yeah, the whole stupid light up gimmick. Which is a dumb gimmick, and the fact it doesn't have a provision to lock it all together is even dumber. But
I think we've come to that conclusion pretty much as a fandom, that I cannot think of anyone who actually likes those light up weapons aside from the fact that they resemble something when either left closed or held open. I think that the attempts made on every toy to work in the LED's path are valiant, but I have yet to see it work in a way that feels like it was worth the trouble. I think that whole thing, it's rare that across every wave a gimmick more or less just fails like that for me.
Right.
And like Megatron is the only time I've seen that thing even feel like it vaguely worked, and I still didn't feel like it worked all that well.
Yeah, it's a case of, and I know it's something I've said before, when it seems like Transformers is at their best is when the transformation is the gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Prime has had, they've all had their kind of signature weapon deals, but it's never been something that overtops the rest of the toy. And it just seems like when you get into the Voyagers, trying to integrate that, and I'm glad it's not something that is actually a part of the vehicle, because that invariably seems like it would be worse. But at the same time, it's something that I would be very happy to give up and get that $1.52 back, either on price or a little bit of a size increase or a little bit of a, you know, a little bit more paint or whatever, because the mechanics of it and the electronics of it is going to be enough cost in there that, you know, that you can save money that way. And it looks like with Beast Hunters, they're going to that. So yay, very much yay.
Many yays.
Yeah. But I'm just rambling on that point. The only other Transformer thing, well, so last time I met up with Kristen, I had bought some things there in Kansas City and then also out of her collection that she's selling off to make ends meet. So I picked up previously and never really played with because I'd left it there, one of the Shockwave tank base thing from the Dark of the Moon set.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another little Cyberverse play place thing. And it's the purple Shockwave, not because there was a different color that came out at some point with the Commanders, or no, it was supposed to come out and then never did.
That's the only way that Shockwave ever actually got released.
And then also a 1984 board game Transformers.
Oh.
Yeah, because I remember, and I only bought it out of a hard nostalgic kick of, I had a cousin that I remember having this. And whenever I would go over to my aunt and uncle's house, we would play it, but I was, in the classic way of keeping other people down, I was too little of a kid to understand how to play this very complex game. So I was not allowed to play it.
Aww.
And so this is my, I got you to, like, 24 years later or something. But it was just an awesome thing to see, and that she was selling it and gave it to me for a really good price that was like warm fuzzies. So yeah, that's it for me. No. I talked to you guys in the intermission, then forgot to say it.
Yeah, I was waiting for this.
Picked up a G1 Swoop. There was a Kapow Toys little shop, like a little niche shop up in Chicago while we were there, that had a bunch of action figures that we just kind of saw on the drive and was up there with Ichabod, hanging out with him that day. And so he took us to this area that had a bunch of little knick-knack shops and whatnot, and saw that. So we looped back, and he actually had a set of the Dinobots minus Grimlock that he was really drooling over, but the place was actually cash only. And he did not have the cash on him to purchase everything. And it was one of those that once he started thinking, ooh, cash only, do I want to really pay $40 cash money right now for something? And so there was the Swoop that Swoop is hard to come by. This Swoop's body is in good shape. Both of the clips are in good shape. Yeah, he's missing weapons. Yes, he needs new stickers. But for $40 for a G1 Swoop that's intact, didn't seem like a bad deal whatsoever. And I told him, dude, if you don't buy that, I'm going to. And he's like, yeah, well, yeah. I was like, I'm going to crisis you on this. What? You know, the whole story, he put it down like, I'm not real sure. And then I jumped in and grabbed it. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Well, go ahead. So at that point, he had called my bluff. And so I ended up with a excellent shape G1 Swoop. Then the guy had no idea, like, do you want a bag for this? It's like, well, yeah, it's raining. It'd be nice to have a bag. Well, I don't have any. Okay.
So why'd you offer me a bag in the first place?
I've got some saran wrap. It's like, okay. Yeah, I can just wrap it in a saran wrap for you, and you can put it in that bag that you already have. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'd like a little bit more padding than that. Oh, I've got some paper towel.
Hey, Aaron, listen, can I offer you a jacket?
Sure.
Okay, I don't actually have a jacket, but listen, what I can do is I got these pillows, right? They're full of stuffing. We could cut them open, and I can just, like, strap them to your body.
Okay.
And listen, if that's not warm enough, I've also got these newspapers, and I got some duct tape.
Actually, you'd be surprised at how good newspaper can be for insulation.
Exactly.
So,
45 cash only.
The guy actually had a really cool selection of everything, and he buys toy collections and yard sales and does all that stuff. So he had a lot of stuff that was kind of sparse, and, you know, parts and pieces of this and that and the other thing. But he had a flag, and Ichabod lost it on the flag because he'd never seen one in person. And I was just like, whatevs. Like, what do you mean, whatever? Look at it. That's huge and cool and awesome. That's awesome.
Hey, guess what?
Like, yeah, I've seen a fleet of flags. A what? Like, yeah, the local toy shop, and that's like an hour and a half drive away, which you're surprised at how different an hour and a half a country drive versus an hour and a half a city drive is. Anyway, that toy shop has got a bunch of them, and whenever they get new ones and they pull out all of the others and the partial ones to piece together everything to see if they can make a whole new one out of it. He's like, oh, what's that look like? Like, three parking spots? So.
I have actually never seen... I might have at a convention and I forgot now. I cannot recall ever seeing a flag in person. Like a complete one.
It's big.
Yeah. I would probably have the same reaction he did seeing it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Oh, it was one of those, oh, that's so cute type of reactions. Yeah.
That'll be like me if I actually get that Encore Fort Max.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be on Ustream probably to open it up, and I'll just be like, guys, he turns into a city!
Just be this high-pitched noise the whole time.
Oh! I'm not going to keep doing that.
Yeah, please don't. But, yeah, that is it for me for Transformers.
All right. Omegas, did you Transformers today?
Not today.
Did you transform us this week?
Yes.
Excellent.
At certain points this week, yes.
Wonderful. Yeah. Would you like to talk about it?
As I delay because I'm trying to eat dinner at the same time.
we
that
were
sounds
talking
like poor planning.
We were talking smack on Aaron for not being here. We were like, how much food's he eating?
It wasn't the food that was going in, it was the food that was coming out, thank you.
We found out that he was defecating, and we were like, wow, yes. Thanks for sharing.
What I make up for in planning, I make up for in commitment.
Hey, you asked.
Well, yeah. Yeah, maybe I did.
Anyway. Let's see, if I can organize this, I'll go from the non-transforming and work my way to properly transforming, which means I start with my Repeltech Jetwing Optimus.
How is that? And did you actually ever have the first Repeltech Optimus?
No, I did not.
I don't
actually.
Know anyone who had it that wants to get this one. I want to know if it's the same figure with a backpack or not.
I think that was pretty much an either or toy. Like either you picked up the one that had just a ton of accessories, or you picked up or you waited and held out for one with a wing pack. Mm. And if you bought the one with the weapon accessories, then you didn't want to pay for the giant wing pack.
Okay.
Probably as simple as that. The figure itself's all right. I mean, it's RevoTech joints everywhere, and they actually work a lot better on a robot design than they do some of the human RevoTechs I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they've got that going for it. It's a little bit looser than some of the RevoTechs I've seen. I heard that was something of a problem on the first one.
Yeah, I almost got the first one, but didn't. So I don't have any experience with it, unfortunately.
But still, he makes a really nice figure. I mean, it's ridiculously well detailed, very well painted. A lot of the joints work in ways I didn't expect. Like he's got these bicep hinges that go in and out, and they go in and out. They take the car doors on the chest with them, so cool. It looks like his chest just kind of expanding and contracting. It's a neat little effect.
Yeah, I'm mainly curious, like, how stable is he? Like, is he able to stand on his own without any kind of RevoTech stand, or does he really need to be pegged in?
He needs a stand. In fact, the stand you get is a special one because it has an extra piece to attach onto not one but two RevoTech stands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the backpack is enormous. Like the engines are really heavy. They've got a ton of jointage in them themselves, like right down to the burners being on revolver joints. So it's just the wingspan. The wingspan is enormous for a toy this size. Like, I'm not surprised he needs the support.
Mm-hmm.
But he makes a cool figure. The wing pack's just for display. It's just because he's just too heavy to kind of manipulate on his own. The accessories are really cool.
Is the wing pack jointed?
The wing pack is jointed. The wings themselves are jointed. The engines are jointed to move up and down.
Okay, cool.
Even the little wings on top are jointed as well.
Okay.
So a lot of articulation in just a big thruster unit, really.
Mm-hmm.
He does come with this giant Energon axe, which is awesome.
Hey, sounds
and what
like...
I like, oh, yeah, what I like is he actually comes with the sword. You get the option of either, well, you can either use the RevoTech peg to peg it into an open hand, or you have the option of just putting it on his wrist like you would in the previous movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like he's an impressive bit of kit. I guess I'm just like, I'm still on that kind of like RevoTech fatigue, as I'd called it before.
Mm.
Where I'm kind of like, he sounds cool and all. I don't know if I'll dig him for more than like a day.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I don't get RevoTechs very much, so he's still special to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, RevoTech fatigue. It's a bummer. I talked about this with GOG. I used to be so pumped for RevoTech releases, and it just feels like they. Feels like they I don't know. RevoTech needs to get more advances done in its technology.
Yeah, well, it just stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, they kept making RevoTechs, but like RevoTech tech stopped.
Yeah, it's like they came up with the smaller and larger revolver joints and then called it a day.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Still, I mean, like, that's RevoTech Sci-Fi, right? Like the
Yeah, that's RevoTech Sci-Fi.
Yeah. That's cool.
Which is weird to know there's an Optimus Prime in the same toy line as my Jason and the Argonaut skeleton.
Yeah, they can be buddies. You just call the Jason and the Argonaut skeleton, like, the Fallen battle-damaged version.
Sleep mode.
Yeah, sleep mode the Fallen.
Moving on from that, I think I'll rearrange this because it all just kind of plays in. So I will switch to the Creo Sideswipe and Prowl.
Those transform.
Yeah, they transform. So but it's part forming. We're moving up.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a fan of mine in Sweden ended up sending these over.
They are on hardcore sale in Europe right now. That's a link I saw on Facebook. Apparently in Europe...
Buy one, just take the rest. Isn't that about the level that they've gotten to?
Well, yeah, but they're like selling like bundles of them now in Europe, apparently. So it's like, for the price of one, here's a box of like four.
Yeah, just put the price tag just on the case.
Yeah.
Don't even bother opening it, just shove it out into the hallway. Someone take it!
Yeah. I don't have either of those sets. Are they any good?
Sideswipe I haven't gotten to mess with as much. Like, I put them together to figure out his crazy door crooked thing.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to put him into robot mode yet, but it kind of just... it just boils down to these 2x1 pieces that should have been flat on the top, but they're not.
Okay.
Because what they're going for is opening doors so you can get the crayons inside more easily without having to take the top off or anything.
Yeah, no, not so much. Their tech isn't there.
Because if those were flat, it would work. The doors could completely close. Because you can actually assemble the doors so they're actually straight and doesn't look like they've been in a wreck. And they look good. They work there. So it's one of those things where whenever I go to put them together in robot mode, I'm watching these two pieces very carefully. Were these pieces here because they are imperative to the robot mode? Or could you just give me two more just so I could have working doors?
Yeah. That's a bummer. So there's no real way to like do a build around that either, like just rejigger the parts a bit.
I'd have to go through it. I didn't see any flat 2x1s.
Yeah.
I'll have, you know, you probably have to scalp them off of a different set. I know.
It'd be blasphemous and go to Bricklink and then mix your Lego and Creo.
Oh no, no.
I wouldn't mind doing that. I got no scruples whatsoever about doing that.
I mean, what's doing that have that anything one? To do with your scruples?
Yeah, well, it's compatible with leading building brick brands. It sits on the package.
Go buy some Mega Blocks and do it with that.
They're leading now. They're leading. They're a leading brand. I can do that.
Get some old school Duplos.
Hey, I'll mix it.
Duplos are Lego, and they are Lego compatible.
I will mix any building block brand, and I will stare you in the face while I do it. Grinning. I'm only saying that because I know that actually can get some people's dander up. I don't know actually if it's better that I said that I know it gets people's dander up when I do it.
No, but like so far from what I've done, it's a fun build. I need to put him in a robot mode. Prowl I like.
Now the Prowl's a good build.
He makes for this very beefy, you know, police car. A little bit beefier than you'd see these days, but he still works. He looks the part. What I like about this set is, like, when you put him into robot mode, following the instructions, he's not quite right. Like, his shoulder, a lot of Creo sets have the problem where the shoulders just sit a little bit too low. But he's the way he's designed, and just for the, or more or less the size of him, I should say, he's not. Like for a Lego novice such as myself, he's not intimidating to like pull apart and, you know, fiddle with just to see. Okay, can I get these arms up any higher? Can I reinforce this? Can I make the door wings come out any farther? Can I put the shoulder guns where they go?
Creo's good about that.
Yeah, he's a nice, you know, like I've seen builds where they make Optimus Prime look like so much more solid. Prime already looks pretty good. But I've seen like some really cool builds for like making a G1 style Prime out of the Creo set. But it's just like there's so many parts here. There's just so much going on. They're so big. It's like my head goes blank a little bit. Prowl's just like this nice size where like on a boring weekend or where I'm just watching one of my friends stream endlessly. I can totally just imagine like clearing off the table and just goofing with them.
Oh, awesome. I have a lot of Creo chilling out here, like Redbox Wave 1 Creo, and I'm probably going to end up doing a binge sometime soon.
I've got a Megatron sitting around the build, I think.
Megatron is nice. Like, once you have to do the build and then see the obvious fix and then do the fix, which is that the base build has his shoulders like a full like three layers too far down. But that's simple to fix because you just have to like rejigger how the layers are working. Rejigger is my new favorite word, by the way.
That's racist.
No, it isn't.
What? You didn't see how Thundercracker's racist?
Well, hey, this is different, right? And by the way, thanks for outright just saying Thundercracker and bringing us to an X rating. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Honky.
Say Thunder Biscuit like a nice normal person. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Okay. Racism. Racism in the modern world of Transformer toy collecting.
I thought you were about to say racism in the mod forum. I was like, what?
Oh, if only you knew.
Shaking your fist from your rocking chair.
Sure, Lumpy seems like a nice guy, but whew.
Oh, that, yeah.
Get him in there talking about Italians? Oh, God. Ugh.
You just wanted to name drop Lumpy because you know he listens.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at you.
Fellow Prime Forum veteran.
Oh, okay, that's a lad. I'll dig that. That's okay. You guys are slogging through the Prime Forum. You know, all the best to you.
Hey, next week looks like a clip show.
Really?
Wait, spoiler. I think so. Somebody sent me two messages about that already. So, I should have an easy week next week. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. It'll be all the why is it a clip show or this sucks. It's the worst show ever.
Having a clip show episode just means you're going to get more people complaining about the clip show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just means you're going to have everyone complaining about the entire series so far. Like, oh, I remember that. I hated that.
No, wait a second. It's a day that ends in Y. Yes, they'll be complaining about the show and how it's the worst one ever.
No. It's a clip show. Does that mean that they're going to cancel Prime?
Don't give them ideas.
What's up, Aaron?
Hi. How's it going?
Not bad.
Okay, so riding my Creo wave.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Brian, who has this magical ability to find everything that isn't ever in stock around here, was cool enough to pick up the Creon preview wave for me.
Ooh, sweet.
Did you get the whole wave?
Whole wave.
Nice.
Can I talk about them with you? Because they're part of my one I got this week.
If you really want to.
I'll see what you say. Go ahead.
What happened to Galvatron?
Yeah, that is a weird little thing, because there's no forward stability for his cannon mode, so he just kind of tips forward.
No.
And then he has, like, the craziest backpack, and his colors are nice.
Colors are nice.
His colors are spot on.
Yeah. Great colors.
Great colors.
Moving on.
Yeah. No, I think everyone pretty much figured out, oh, if I put the giant cannon thing on his back, I can make a sensible cannon out of this.
Yeah. I still haven't tried any custom building with mine, other than like seeing if I can fit all the parts onto both modes.
Yeah. How's that worked out for you?
I pulled it off. It doesn't look very good, but I pulled it off. Like Crank Start, the utter failure that his name carries with him. Not actually bad minifigure, but I just double stacked the wheels on his legs. So he has these gigantic cylinders of wheels sticking off both sides of his legs.
Very odd, like safari pants.
Yeah.
God, he's such an odd one. He reminds me of like when you played Transformers as a kid and you kind of pretended like you folded up into a car.
Yeah.
And then your parents would wonder if they raised you right. This one, he's pretty much the same way. He just kind of lies flat with his arms out. I'm holding wheels, so that makes me a car.
I mean, at least, like, I think thanks to those pipes pieces, he gets the kind of roll bar cage look going on in the front of the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The silhouette is kind of there. I'm not saying it's any good. For what it is, it's not bad.
For what it is, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think Sunstorm came off really nice.
Yeah. I found I actually like his jet mode more when you just remove his head entirely.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to do.
And I found also I need a knife to get his head out of his helmet, so that kind of solves two problems at once. But the helmet on mine is so tight, like I can't get his head out unless I made a small exacto incision on his forehead at the seam of where it hits the helmet, so I can stick a knife in there and pry him out.
It would work even better. Just take a knife to the whole toy.
Oh, but Sunstorm. No, Sunstorm's, he's Sunstorm's got a long better. History of contributions to this fandom. And
what's nice about Sunstorm is having all the parts to do that to any of your Seeker Creons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all you have to deal with is, like, what the hell is his weapon?
some best I can figure is like some like killer dowsing rod of some type. Like he's seeking energon with it or something.
Two-fisted killer dowsing rod.
Well, it's like those old like those
because a three-fisted one would be silly.
It's like that stick with two branches coming off one.
Yeah. I don't
except
know.
Made of metal.
I have doubts about his weapon.
Weapons are just to put their parts somewhere. You know this.
No, but I have doubts about it. Because,
okay.
I mean, you're going to cover him, so I'll wait till you cover him.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to roll that into Spinister.
Yeah, Spinister kicks ass!
Mm-hmm. I know! By far the best one.
Yeah. I love how his weapon is bigger than he is.
I like the. I'm kind of undecided whether or not I like the fact that he can transform without disassembling or not. Because part of me is going, this is awfully convenient. I can switch into modes easily. Then part of me is going, doesn't this kind of defy the idea of this series?
I think it's okay. I like that the back of the Mirage helmet, I think, actually looks kind of like a helicopter cockpit.
Yeah, that actually works really well.
Mm.
Yeah, that's one of the things that get me, because you see, okay, borrowed helmet. That kind of looks like Galvatron, but, you know, in kind of like a BotCon evac mold, we don't want to make a new head mode kind of way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still, Spinister is fun, though.
Yeah, no, well, very well done figure.
Yeah. The rotor works better than deluxe toys these days.
Yeah.
The other one I thought came out really nice was Scorponok.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people say that he was their favorite of the set. I think that set me up a little bit for disappointment. I don't dislike him, but once I busted him out, I was messing with him, and I was like, he's cool, but I'm not seeing best of set in this guy. He's got great colors, and I love his claw pieces. Very creative, but I don't know. Something about him just didn't quite click with me.
I like him well enough. I kind of want hordes of him.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of tiny Scorponoks.
Yeah, just swarming everything.
Let's call them the Scorponoks with an X.
See, this is the one you have swarming like Fort Max. This is like Scorponok just kind of like broke his body down into like millions of scorpions to
an aggregate Scorponok.
And I guess that leaves Waspinator?
Yeah, I mean, you know, great custom parts on him, great paint job on the striped bit. I heard that if I use a piece from the Viacon or Auto Trooper set, you can get his insect butt to stick onto the robot mode really nicely.
Yeah, the biggest thing that gets me is they do that beautiful paint on it, and then they have you put the stupid armor thing over top of it.
I know. And what bugs me about that is four of this preview wave do the same thing. I mean, Scorponok, Galvatron, and you know, even Crankstart do that. And it's like, okay, I understand this is kind of a preview wave thing. This is kind of like a budget way of releasing characters and keeping names and all that. But when you've got four of the six toys in the wave having the exact same problem, you just kind of start to think, why? Isn't there, like, couldn't you just, like, make one new piece to universally solve that?
Yeah.
Because most of what I see are people that were, I want to say it was Griff off the boards who was telling me. He was just cutting off the fronts of the vests.
Yeah, I heard that, like, just knifing off, like, bits of them, like, on Waspinator, just knifing the visor out of the helmet is something people have been doing.
Well, on the helmet for Waspinator, I kind of get it because it looks more like his robot mode helmet.
Take it off.
Yeah, then you take it off and it's the mutant head that we know from the show. So that I like. I actually kind of like that way of working in that old gimmick into a Creon. Mm-hmm. That I thought was kind of clever. You know, it's just they do this really good intricate little tampo on the chests and then. No, cover him up with a flak jacket for some reason.
Yeah, the jacket looks weird.
Yeah, the jacket's the thing that looks the most borrowed, because everything else is very robotic, everything else is just very hard detail, and then you got this, you know, what obviously came off of a soldier at some point.
Yeah.
I think that's really the one downside I can actually put to these guys, and if that can be solved with an X-Acto knife, that's not too bad of a problem.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, if you just honestly just get another Waspinator, just knife the visor off and then see how it works, because I mean they're not that expensive, and yeah, you can identify them. That's the nice thing about them, I think, is like anything I want to do with them, I just go grab one from the store and then try it out.
Yeah, I've managed to pull quite a few, and because of the number code, looked like some sort of minifig whisperer for all of the knowledge of how I fondle minifig bags. I'm like, no, this one's easy. It has a number.
Yeah.
You match the number up with the one that you want, and there you go. Oh. Not nearly as complicated. Did you think the story was going to be more?
I was waiting for like this amazing revelation. And...
No revelation.
Well, no. Okay. Well, thanks. Well,
You're welcome.
You going to be like this the entire 24 hours?
No, I'll be worse.
Excellent.
Brian was also nice enough to hunt down a ton of GDO for me.
Ooh, lovely.
So I start small, we work up legends. I forgot how much I like these legends molds.
Motor Breath is one of them, right?
Yeah, Motor Breath, Thundercracker, Hoist, and then the one Aaron wiped from existence. I can't remember his name offhand.
Yeah, Hunger. He has Hunger.
Yeah, I guess so. No, these were some of my favorite legends molds. I really like. Partially because, you know, these were revealed at the first BotCon I was at. But other than that, they're very cool toys. Like, very well engineered, very well designed, and they work. The new paint jobs make them look really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put accessories with them, and ooh, I love that. I love it. Aside from just, hey, it's very cool legends with the cool accessories. I kind of like Motor Breath just because... Somewhere floating around Family Dollar, there is an Optimus Prime repaint of him that just comes with this inexplicable red sword. and it really makes it on the Seeker, too, because it just completes that jet mode so nice. That's great. Such a really good toy.
I'm still waiting to see any of those dudes who are not the deluxes. So I haven't seen any of them in person yet.
I am amazed that Seeker has not been abused yet.
Yeah, it's a good toy.
Yeah, it is. No, my favorite ended up being, what's his name?
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, what's his face?
Yeah,
good guy.
No, I like the look of his weapon. That's like how I think of a G1 weapon looking.
On what's his face?
Yeah, what's his face? It's got the ammo clip, it's got the raise point in the back for absolutely no reason.
Right, what's his
short barrel? Yeah. And it actually did go through the extra effort of... Actually, let me check that, because I've got cord enough on my microphone to actually check that. They went to the effort of actually remolding the top of it so he could not have... So he could not have that light bar that Prowl had.
Mm-hmm.
I just noticed they remolded him so he could actually hold things too. That's nice. I started forgetting which of these molds had like the hands already accounted for and which ones didn't.
Yeah, like the pre-cut hands or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that term pre-cut?
Yeah, because like Starscream and Optimus, like Starscream and Prime already had those. Hoist already had them.
Mm.
So yeah, that's actually quite a bit of remolding for a legend, and it came out really nice. He looks good. It was nice to see a new Transformer with the name Whatever on his box.
Oh, it's really weird. I mean, just calling the guy Whatever.
But whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, it's weird. I've still got the packaging. It's just like this row of question marks.
I mean, it's like Reveal the Shield.
Yeah, except Reveal the Shield, you open it up and, oh, yeah, that's his faction. Yeah, you know, open this up. His instructions got blanks on them.
Yeah, they fixed that problem with Reveal the Shield, where they gave away the, you know, who it is right away. Now you gotta work for your meal.
Now you gotta change time itself to find out who he is.
Yeah. By the way, what I just said was a reference to Resident Evil 1, FYI.
Thank you for the help with that.
No problem.
Moving up the ladder, GDO Dead End.
Mm-hmm.
Who is so not Dead End.
Aww.
Well, it's Wild Rider.
Like, oh, yeah, all the Stunticons look the same to me.
Yeah. Stunticonist.
Eh. That's racist?
I don't know. Are Stunticons a race or are they a lifestyle choice? Think about it.
Touche.
Circus performers. He's a really like it's as nice as Breakdown was when he first came out. Love the colors on him. Though I went looking for a feedback thread for him, could not find one to see if this misassembly I had was common or not.
Oh yeah, I saw your Twitter about that.
Yeah,
so did
one
you
of the,
make the thread?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. It's been so long since I gave text feedback on anything. I'm not used to it anymore.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Thanks, Yoda.
No problem.
I got that one.
Yeah. That was Yoda from Star Wars, in case you missed
that. Thank you. No, luckily, that one was easy enough to fix with nail clippers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so one shard of plastic in my eye later, I found out he had another misassembly.
Aww.
The front bumpers had not been put into its slot correctly. I had to disassemble one of his feet. I want to know what blind man put him together.
You can find him and make him pay.
Yeah. You know, one of these days I'm going to go to China and I'm going to take that thumbprint that's on my bone crusher and I'm going to figure out who did it.
Yeah, let's find the Chinese police. Go like, that's the man.
No, but he remains to be a cool mold. I really dig the colors on him. May or not be because Wild Rider was the only Stunticon I had as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Up to deluxes, I have Springer and Wheelie.
Arguably the two best ones, according to most feedback.
From what I've heard, yes.
Yeah.
I get such a Botcon vibe off of these two.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, because it... They're really cool color schemes, like, but seeing
the
head...
China BotCon now? Is that where BotCon's going to be this year?
Wait, BotCon's in China?
That's what I heard.
Did you guys hear the big rumor that Transformers 4 is going to have Kicker and Misha in it?
Oh.
Wait, shouldn't that be in the spoiler section?
Sorry. Okay, carry on. Sorry.
Jeez.
Oh, it's going to have Sari in it now? Make up your mind.
Oh, no, I dig that.
God! Spoilers!
Can I talk now?
Yep.
I have a toy.
It's Aaron. Aaron's screwing everything up. He made me drop the drums on my foot, and now he's just messing up this What We Got thing.
But yeah, they feel like BotCon toys. I mean, they have the really nice colors. For the molds, they look really good on the molds, but those heads just don't look quite right on them. Like Springer, especially. Like, it works with the colors, but in shape wise, it's just something's off here.
Hmm.
And they still look really good. I mean, and they're still both two really, really good toys. You know, but they have that feel. You know, that I should have gone to a convention to get something this random, because this Wheelie does not look like Wheelie in the least.
Well, he's just older Wheelie, that's all.
It reminds me of all those, like, joke images of Wheelie getting the Matrix.
Yeah, Wheelie Miss Convoy.
Yeah, but once you get around that, I mean, the orange looks fantastic on that mold. I mean, it's not made to be Wheelie, but it kind of sort of works really well, and I'm not quite sure why.
Mm-hmm.
It has it's very rounded.
Yeah, that kind of pulls through, yeah. You know, it's one of my favorite molds, so it might be some bias showing through. But, you know, honestly, yeah, the colors really do work. I think my one disappointment with Wheelie is that he didn't come with Jazz's normal gun, so I have nothing to do with the speakers now.
Well, they just think they pop out so he can do his rhymes.
They hide so well behind the doors, it's not noticeable.
I know, but they painted them.
I forgot. Like... Oh, yeah, but I mean, I forgot for the longest time that they were there on Stepper.
Well, that's just an improper use of Stepper. I'm sorry.
But it was. I was sitting there fiddling with him a little bit. And I was like, oh yeah, he's got speakers.
See, I liked it on the jazz mode because it's got that super gun mode, but you can't really attach them to the slingshot. Cool as it is, they molded a slingshot for him.
A slingshot that is actually a gun that he is holding like a slingshot. That's my favorite part of it.
Well, it's a slingshot, but then it the way it's molded, it just kind of looks like there's a handle glued to it. Or just like cheaply nailed in.
See, I took it as it's a gun that he bent into the shape of a slingshot because he doesn't know how guns work.
And that works just as well.
Kind of like that. So he's got this like Lion-O thing where he grew up, but he still has the mentality of a child.
Exactly. I mean, that's the impression I get from his head sculpt.
The head sculpt is just way too friendly and fun to be like a serious warrior of any type.
Have you read the comics?
It's an older Wheelie. He's grown up.
Yeah. Have you read the comics?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. I know Sirius Wheelie.
Okay.
This one has both of his arms, though.
So does that Wheelie.
Kinda.
Jangle Man is my favorite new Transformer character.
So, yeah, I believe I am done for Transformers.
All right. Well, I got some Transformers. Because there was a sale. Started last week. I actually bumped into Metroplex79, who posts on Cybertron.ca. And there's a bunch of stuff on sale. 30% off pretty much everything. I didn't really feel it, though. I could have got Voyager Starscream for $20. But I was like, I don't know. Like, if I'm going to get that mold, I'd actually rather get the Arms Micron, so I get the Micron. Because his Powerizer weapon looks just like that.
Yeah.
I agree. I can't even explain what his Powerizer weapon looks like. It's so un-aerodynamic in so many ways.
It looks like a battery pack on top of a light gimmick.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any other way around that.
But Bot Shots were on sale, and they got the new 3-packs in, so I got the Bot Shots 3-pack that has Shockwave in it. There's also a Brawl and an Ironhide, who I'm... whatever. But the Shockwave is cool. So I got my Shockwave Bot Shot. I also got the Creon Microchangers, as we mentioned before, thanks to Seth Buzzard. And they are pretty cool to mess with. I am more looking forward to seeing the development off the back of these six, rather than enjoying these six on their own for the foreseeable future. I think these guys... need more
these
dudes
are pathfinders.
Around them. Yeah, these are pathfinders. Like my favorite GoBots character. Before we move into like the heavy hitters. We've got our pathfinders, now we need our pioneers, is what we need. I also picked up right before the sale ended yesterday, I went looking to see if I could find any more toys I was missing, or maybe get lucky with the GDOs. You know, no such luck. So I grabbed a couple Cyberverse toys while they were 30% off. I grabbed Cyberverse Flame War because it is a new character, and it's probably the only time the character's going to get a toy. So I was like, yeah, you know, I like the RC mold. And it looks neat. You know, Spark Hunter or whatever. I like that the recolored CG on the package is just RC looking angry. And I also got, because it was down to $20, and I'd passed on it many times, I decided, like, whatever, I'm going to take a gamble on this. I got the Energon Driller with Knockout. Because I found the jackhammer to be a little bit lukewarm to me. I was kind of like, it has an opening cockpit, and then it kind of folds, and that's about it. I like the idea of the light gimmick, and how it can be moved to all the different launchers. The Energon Driller, if you had to choose one, to ignore Wheeljacks and get the Energon Driller. That's a way more fun toy.
I will agree with you totally on that.
Yeah, it's...
Just having the action gimmick makes a big difference.
Yes! It's astounding how the Energon Driller does kind of just as much as the jackhammer, right down to like when you transform it, you just get like it angles out and you get two guns which have fold out handles. But that drill gimmick makes up for so much. And the fact that the drill spins when you roll it, and then when you transform it, the wheels don't spin it anymore, but the button spins it. That's really cool engineering. The light-up gimmick, it's amazing how the light fills that back purple gimbal on the drill. And like when the drill's spinning with the light on, it's actually really cool. And much like with the jackhammer, if you stick the light into the missile launchers, it illuminates not only the missile launcher, but the missile itself. And the missile launchers are giant Viacon guns, which is really neat, too. And then the really cool last touch, which I didn't notice until I was pulling on things, is the blast shield that comes up for the driver that reveals, like, a monitor. But you can scroll it. You can slide it down if you want to have this thing, like, in just, like, a pure drill mode. And then if it has a pilot, you can, like, slide up this control panel, which is really neat. You know, don't pay more than $20 for it, but it's a very cool little bit of playset gimmickry. And, you know, like I said, it's a billion times more fun than the jackhammer. It feels even like it's more in scale with the toys. Yeah. Speaking of the toys, Knockout. Pretty good Cyberverse. I wish he had knees. If he had knees, he would be a very good Legion. You know, no one is as good as Cliffjumper, unfortunately, but Knockout is... He's kind of Bumblebee tier. He has an interesting transformation. You know, he's got ball-jointed hips and shoulders, and it's okay. He comes with a pretty cool... I said cool and good at the same time. How do you like that? Pretty cool, good weapons. You know, his stick and his buzzsaw. It's kind of neat how the buzzsaw can kind of look like it's coming out of his arm. And I think it's the only toy of Knockout to actually recognize that the buzzsaw exists. So, you know, grats there. So I'm kind of happy with the Energon Driller. And I also got my first non-in-person order from Repro Labels. I got all three of their Fall of Cybertron Repro Label sets.
How are those?
So I haven't put them on yet, because I have this thing where I buy Repro Labels and never use them. Made worse by the fact that now it's like I buy Repro Labels and go like, I should wait till I've reviewed the toy before I put them on, so I can review the toy's stock. But I checked out what the label sheets look like. The Optimus one is very straightforward. Hang on, let me pull them over here. Got all my Repro Labels in a stack now, accessible across the room, but accessible. There we go. So, pull these out. I've bought Repro Labels before, but always at conventions. So this is my first time getting them in the mail, and it's pretty cool. So the Optimus set. By the way, there are pictures up if you do want to just check out pictures of them, but there's some really cool bits and pieces on these. The Optimus set is just a big sticker sheet. It's mostly metallic pink to give him his, like, glowing light effect. But the Jazz and Shockwave ones have got G1 options on them, which and quite a few options, actually. Where's my Jazz set go? I just had it a second ago. That's the problem with these sticker sheets, is that they're, like, thin, so you have to, like, dig through piles of them. Here we go. So the Jazz set is actually the biggest sheet, and it comes with a bunch of, like, additional stickers to give him the G1 stripe down the front of the vehicle mode.
Okay.
They're all these Fall of Cybertron sticker sheets are printed on metallic paper. And the Jazz set, you can give him the stripe, and then instead of the number 4, it's like a Cybertronian symbol for the number 4. You also get a lot of spares, actually, on these, too. Like, a surprising number of spare stickers. On the Optimus Prime set, a whole bunch of his pink lights you get spares of. On Jazz, you get spares of, like, almost every major sticker. Cool. Including a spare of his visor sticker. And the visor sticker, I saw a review on their comments section that said, the visor sticker in this is almost worth the cost of the set alone. Because it's a shiny, shiny blue visor, which fixes one of the biggest problems with Generations Jazz. The Shockwave set, though, is really cool. Because they give you the G1 option on it is that you can give them either a pink eye or a yellow eye, and you get two of each. So you got, you know, spares. And then his chest, you can give him... Here's how it works. There's two different chest stickers. One is a solid pink array of lights, and the other one is a more G1 style, like, gray with blue gradient outline chest. And then there's a clear sticker sheet of chest overlays. One of them is the game style with all the lions, and the other one's the G1 style with the kind of, like, vent. So what's cool is you can give him a game style or G1 style chest in either game or G1 colors. So you actually have four different chest options. And that's kind of neat. makes me almost want to get another, if he wasn't so hard to find, another Shockwave and another set of these stickers to, like, mess around with the chest options. Because I'm kind of curious now. But Shockwave is also cool because he uses those clear overlay stickers to make an interesting effect. Like I said, I haven't put any of these on yet. I'm going to update once I do. But I did put on my very first set of Repro labels the other night. I put on the set of Repro labels for Prime Knockout. And they are really cool. The guy who did the design for them has a YouTube video up showing how to apply them, or at least how he applies them. And they're made out of, I want to say it was called Ocal vinyl.
Oracal, you fool.
It's a type of vinyl used on, like, wrapping cars, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Yeah.
And what that means...
Whenever you see cars that have advertisements on it.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about when they're wrapping cars.
That's cool. Yeah, because this vinyl is really nice. The Repro Labels actually gives you two copies of the biggest sticker sheet, which is for the sides of the car, because this stuff is kind of hard to apply. Because basically, it's the nightmare of trying to apply stickers over curved and beveled surfaces, except that this stuff is Ocal vinyl, which is meant to do that. So you kind of get a training sheet, if you haven't seen the video, or just mess it up, to, like, learn how you can, like, all you have to do is follow, like, the line of the wheel well and just pull and stretch the vinyl to, like, fit over top of Knockout, go from the bottom up, squeegee out any air bubbles, and then, if you want, even apply heat afterwards to shrink the vinyl down to form fit a bit better. And the final result is really cool. Like, it does not look like he is covered in stickers to me. Because the vinyl has this kind of, like, finish to it that looks like paint. So I really like this set. Granted, I also like the Deluxe Knockout toy. And if you hate the toy down to its core, this isn't going to change anything for you. But if you like the toy and wish it had more coloring, this adds so much color to him. It really helps out. I also, while I was applying these stickers, I popped open his head and did GogDog's modification to paint the eyes. If you pull the light pipe plastic out of his head, his pupils are actually two raised little dots along a ridge that fills out his eyes. So you can actually paint all the stuff around them black and leave the two pupils unpainted, and light will still pipe through them, but he'll now have, like, black eyeballs with pink irises, like in the show. And it's a really cool effect as well. So I'm kind of liking, like, these little mass upgrades I'm doing to my Knockout toy. I'm probably going to bust out a gold Gundam marker and paint his rims and the inside of the vents on his Fender fur coat. And feel like I think that'll make me feel like I kind of finished off my Knockout as much as I'd like to. If I had any problem with the stickers, it would be that I found the window stickers were, and also the front shin stickers, it's not like they were imprecisely cut, but they were cut in a way where I thought they were following detail lines that, if you try to follow those detail lines, things do not end entirely symmetrically, at least in my experience. But you can also just, like, once you try it, it's pretty easy to tell what happened. You can adjust it pretty easily. Especially because they're Ocal vinyl, it's not hard, if you have an X-Acto knife, to just peel them off and put them back on. They're quite durable. So I'm really impressed with that set, and it's making me excited to try out some more of the Repro labels they've been doing for Prime Toys. And I just, on principle, got the Fall of Cybertron Repro labels because I'm like, I want to support this because I really want someone to design some crazy, just detail-oriented stickers for the retail Combaticons. I don't care if it's game accurate or not. The colors are already off. Just make it bring out the detail that's not been painted in. That's what I'd like to see. Hey, guess what I did? I forgot to talk about a Transformer I got.
Throwing the format completely out the window now, aren't we?
Not necessarily. Through the magic of editing, I may well have moved this part back into the Transformers section.
But now it's just funnier if you don't.
Maybe. Find out. I'll be real brief.
Through the magic of editing, Vangelis has forgotten to move this back into the Transformers section.
Damn it! Why did I make Aaron the editor? No! I got Arms Micron, Unicron, and Ironhide as well.
I forgot about that. How do you forget Unicron?
I was staring at him while you were finishing talking about XCOM, and I was like, wait a second.
I got that. Wait.
So I haven't done any of the stickers or any of the Microns yet, but I messed with the toys unstickered and without their Microns. Ironhide, first time I've messed with that mold. And as Aaron said, like, that back flap thing. You just pull that off and stick it back on the other way around. And
yeah.
It is clearly designed to do that. So
I don't know about clearly designed. I think it was a lucky design that it did that.
I'm going to say clearly designed. I think there was supposed to be a swivel piece in there somewhere, and that was something that got lost for budget's sake. That's how I feel about that. Like, it's just, it's so perfect how it folds down the back. Like,
and it may be part of the reason why it was very, very rough transformation that it expected to have a different piece in there to get it loose. I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's so just... Anyway, it's a good toy. Ironhide, his colors are very beautiful. I haven't seen a cup in person aside from in package at a comic shop once, so I can't really compare that. But as an actual mold, it's pretty cool. And I do want to get a cup to get the black cannons. Gaia Unicron! I was tweeting about this guy last night. In a capsule, if you need to ask why you should get Gaia Unicron, then you should just not get Gaia Unicron. This is like the new alt, like it's not the same tier of a toy, but the best comparison I can make is this is the new Ultimate Optimus Prime for this year.
Okay.
It's a like demented, deeply flawed, and incredibly endearing figure. The Unicron mode is really cool. It's a nice representation of the model they used for Unicron in the show. Mine had a really bad paint splotch because his eyes were painted pink, and on mine, his right eyebrow was also like really pink. So I X-Acto knife scratched all that stuff off. Because luckily, thanks to the transformation, you can actually pull his helmet up off of his face to extend it out to fold down over his face, which also means you can make his helmet jump off his head, which is really funny. The weird thing about him is he's poseable, but a lot of his joints don't entirely work right. His elbows, like, kind of work. His knees only bend about 20-some degrees. His hips have full movement and thigh rotation, but everything's a little bit limited here and there. Same thing with his shoulders. He looks at his best when he's just kind of standing or kind of lumbering forward. The giant rock spike that you can use as both his arms or combine together to make one arm. This is the weird thing about this. It's actually really painted, and it doesn't look like it, but the middle spikes are all a two-tone airbrushed, heavily painted, bendy PVC, as are the giant horns on his shoulders. Also, he's covered in, like, a really thick orange vat chrome that is decently durable. Mine came with a few scratches out of the box, unfortunately, but due to something I'm talking about in a few minutes, it actually can survive impact pretty well. And also, I learned that Darkness Megatron's chrome can survive impact pretty well through that same process. He transforms into a thing that is called a space cruiser. It makes almost as much sense as Cybertron Unicron's tank mode. The one thing that makes it look like a space cruiser is this tiny little panel that folds out at the very tip of the vehicle mode that has a teeny tiny little bridge cockpit section on it and four cannons that kind of make it just look like the chest. It literally looks like Armada Tidal Wave's chest is off on the tip of the vehicle mode. It doesn't fit in aesthetically with anything else on the entire robot or vehicle mode. It's folded away in robot mode. In vehicle mode, it's the one mechanical thing on the entire vehicle mode. It's really weird. And then, of course, if you like flip him around into volcano mode, he's also a giant Unicron head sticking out of a rock. What's weird is the huge Unicron face is just on his back in robot mode. So if you look at him from the rear, he has a giant face on his back staring out at you, which is weird. The transformation's is really simple. It's not that bad. It's actually quite decently engineered to hold together. And the other thing that's engineered, almost more so than either of his modes, are the number of parts and pegs and joints for his transformation into a piece of armor for Voyager, Optimus, or Megatron. Now, he's engineered really well to turn into those armor pieces. He turns into the head. And the horns come off, and like part of the face comes off to form this front skirt piece. And the rest of his body basically turns into a giant pair of shoulder pads and an enormous cape made out of his legs. Now, here's the thing. Once you transform him into that, it's actually really solid. There's a lot of things that peg into each other. And so it's this dead solid armor piece. And I start to go, like, wow, this could be really cool. And then when you try to connect him to Optimus or Megatron, it's like the toy did a really good job designing itself to turn into the armor. And then it kind of stopped, and then went like, yeah, I'll finish later on. And then you go to combine it, and it sits there for a second, and it goes like, oh no, I forgot to figure out how to combine to the toys! Aw, crap! So he's got these two pegs just sticking straight out, really foreign looking, that you can rotate around to plug down into those two mech tech ports on Optimus Prime's collar. And that's how he attaches to Optimus Prime. The front piece with the horns and the kind of pelvis skirt, that actually pegs into the giant orange chrome shoulder pads. You just don't peg it in right away so you can slide Optimus or Megatron in. But here's where the toy commits both an incredible act of bravery and creativity and utterly fails. Is the way it connects to Megatron is, you know how Voyager Megatron shoulder pads are really spiky, right?
Yeah.
And the spikes kind of come together in a way, kind of like claws. The idea is that there's a rod and a gap around the rod on the orange chromed parts. So it's a chromed rod. You're supposed to stuff the rod in between the spikes on Megatron's shoulders, which are supposed to form a kind of a C-clip around it. But because they were never intended to do that, the connection only works for me on one side and entirely does not work on the other side. And I tried this on both regular Megatron, and just because I could, I tried it on Darkness Megatron. Which means if you combine this guy with Megatron Darkness like you're supposed to, you're taking a vac-chromed thing that's not supposed to be a C-clip, but it's kind of shaped like one, and you're trying to use it as a C-clip by literally grinding it against a vac-chromed rod. So you're literally grinding two vac-chromed pieces of plastic together to combine them to Megatron. And I'm sitting there going like...
Has that technology significantly advanced since I remember it?
So I was trying to do this, and it worked immediately on as with the Prid one. It worked on one shoulder pad, but not the other. And so the other, I was like, whatever. So I'm sitting there trying to grind them together. I'm grinding them together so much that the peg and like holding the shin of Unicron together that I'm trying to grind this into, that splits open instead, which I was able to peg together right afterwards. But so basically the actual assembly of the toy opened up before it even tried to have a semblance of holding together. Whenever it would hold together, it was so tenuous that like tapping it would make it pop loose. And so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna look at my table now and see if there's a giant pile of shaven off vac chrome. There were like two flakes. The vac chrome on Megatron Darkness and Gaia Unicron is like the toughest vac metal chrome I have ever seen in my life. Like, this stuff was actually able to survive literally being ground together. At some points, I even used excessive force, and it survived it. What this also means is that, unfortunately, the combined mode with Megatron, which I was looking forward to the most, because having an orange chromed, like, demonic cape with giant shoulder pads on a silver chromed Megatron, I was like, that could be really cool. It completely does not work at all. Because the only way that this Unicron combines to either toy is that the shoulder pads plug in. And that's the only combination point. And on Megatron, it doesn't even work. So, unfortunately, Gaia Unicron, the one crazy thing he does that made everyone more interested in buying him, only kind of works on Optimus Prime, who is shorter than the cape. So, when you combine Prime with it, Prime's feet can't actually reach the ground unless you bend the cape back and make his stability go all crazy. Whereas Megatron's tall enough, but it doesn't actually combine to his shoulder pads. So, Gaia Unicron, as I said before, this is a toy where it's like, if you need someone to tell you whether or not you should buy it, then you probably shouldn't buy it. And if you think there's something about it that's demented and weird and you just kind of want it, then just get it and eat it. You know, eat the fact that it is a flawed toy. It has features that outright don't work, at least on mine, but it also is crazy inventive. It's really creative. It's incredibly ambitious. It shoots itself in the foot many times, but it's also kind of endearing. And just for its robot mode and weird volcano spaceship mode, I kind of dig it. The robot mode is a very tall Voyager, considering how tall Voyagers are right now, and it's imposing, and the sculpt is great. So it's weird. It's a true mixed bag. I don't, do either of you guys have any questions about this? I'm guessing neither of you have it on order. So
no, I don't. It's was one that was on the tipping point and I'd really like, but oh yeah, big hole in the budget.
I was about to get rid of the pre-order and then it shipped. And I was like, okay,
well. Well, yeah. I guess I'm getting that one then.
I'm about the same way. I've got no room in my budget for something that big.
Yeah, I mean, it's not huge. It's pretty much a Voyager toy with a lot of extremities. But It's friggin' weird, man. And the part that I find weirdest is how well-engineered its transformation into armor mode is, given how awfully engineered its connection points are. Like, it's such a... It doesn't make sense. Like, if the armor mode was a jiggly piece of crap that barely held together, and it could barely connect, I'd be like, yeah, whatever, it's an afterthought. But, like, huge amounts of thought and entire transformation joint assemblies almost exist for that armor mode. So it's like, it doesn't make any sense, man!
Didn't someone figure out it could fit on Weaponizer, too?
Yeah. I mean, because it pegs down using 2 5-millimeter peg holes, anyone with 2 peg holes, like, along their collar, technically can take this guy on as a piece of armor. So, it works. Anyway, I also got 3 AMW Arms Microns. They're just the recolor ones, like Scorpion and Bulkheads and RCs, but I haven't built those yet. I think that would cover all of the Transformers I got this week. So I'm going to tag out for just a sec here and bring you back in, Mr. Aaron, to talk about what you got that wasn't Transformers this week.
What I got that was not Transformers this week. Would it surprise you if I said some Lego?
What?
I know.
I'm not even gonna joke about being surprised anymore. Like, I'm...
I picked up a few small sets. Picked up the Droid Escape.
Hang on. Before you continue, just number. What number is a few?
4 sets?
That's not a few anymore.
3 in 1 polybag.
Okay, no, that's like that's 2 polybags. That's like the upper limit of a few.
So, well, they're also smaller sets. So the Droid Escape set, mostly because it came with 2 Sand Troopers. They have like a little shoulder cape. Mm-hmm. But it's a orange-shouldered pauldroned Sand Trooper, a white-shouldered pauldroned Sand Trooper, and then C-3PO and R2 with the escape pod.
All right.
And then also picked up the Desert Skiff because of Dat Boba Fett.
Hmm.
Great Boba Fett, excellent paint details, really cool. Both of those were kind of ones that I bought for the minifigs, as weird as that sounds.
I am entirely not weirded out by the idea that you did that.
Yeah. The skiff has a neat function of it has the plank that kind of folds out from the side. And it has a spot. It's all smooth bricks except for a spot where there's a 1x2 gap so that your minifig Luke can stand at the end of it. Like he's about ready to jump into the great pit of Carcoon build that to. You build a little Sarlacc to sit at the bottom of wherever you're displaying things.
Aww.
And also picked up for the large kits, picked up the Stryker-class Starfighter from the Knights of the Old Republic.
Is that the thing where you're like, I just have a small kit here, and you pulled it into shot on that stream you did, and it was like a gigantic spaceship the size of your hand?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was funny.
It's very flat, though. So you got... angle bias, maybe, but it's actually interesting because it the way that that everything folds, it is set up so it's, I had originally hoped when I first saw pictures of it online that like as you swung the wings out it moved the guns because it has 2 guns that stick forward when it's all compressed down, and then it has the S-foils, as they're called in Star Wars, whenever it changes wing direction or size or whatever. When those S-foils come out, then the guns end up pointed forward as well. And so I had hoped that there was some really neat thin gearing system in there hidden underneath the wing that you could never see. Instead, it's just a bending piece that you have to manually flip over. But, oh no, it's so horrible.
I'm mad.
Yeah. But, whoa. Yeah. Throwing things on the desk.
I'm mad too!
You build yourself a little Knights of the Old Republic era droid out of parts. And you have I think it's the soldier from the MMO that you build, like his big underslung gun thing. The comically large weapon that you have to have him pegged into a base of some sort in order to not fall over. And so then of the poly bags, I picked up for myself and for a few other people on some of the ghosts with the grandfather clock poly bag. That's the Target exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
That's hidden in like the Halloween candy aisle, where it's the little glow in the dark ghost with a ball and chain and then a grandfather clock that you can build. It's the cheapest way to get that glow in the dark ghost. Otherwise, you have to buy larger sets in order to get that. So now I've got a couple of those ghosts. Perfect for Halloween theming. And then the other one that I got was at a Toys R Us. I picked up the Coffin Racer. I think it's called the Coffin Racer, where it's the zombie chauffeur with a little, like, hot rod drags car made out of a coffin.
Hmm.
Out of the Monster Fighters line.
Monster Fighters look really fun in a way where I am actively not buying them because they would probably suck me straight in for how characterful the minifigures look.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, but yeah, my problem is that like the next step that I want is just like I want the Haunted Mansion.
Yes, you're already at the top now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I've seen great reviews of that set, and it makes me want it more. But I, at the same time, no. Yeah.
I offer no sympathy. Then, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then beyond that, the only other thing I've picked up is a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Is XCOM Enemy Unknown.
That game is making waves on my Twitter because Mr. Noisemaze has made everyone in the world in that game.
Yes, and I actually think that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. It is.
Yeah. So your soldier dudes come from around the world in this anti-alien organization, and you randomly recruit. You say, hey, yo, I need like 10 dudes over here. And then 3 game days later, you got 10 dudes that all have random names, but you can rename them. And so what Noisemaze is doing is taking people off of his Twitter feed and naming his soldiers as that and then sending them out in some sort of logical groupings. So there was early on when there's only 4 players, it was all of us but TJ going out as a squad, and I somehow managed to miss a really good shot and took it personally somehow. Like, what? No, I just was really excited that there's an alien, and this is what I've trained for. And
you're terrible.
But terrible. since then, I've managed to go on another mission and survive and level up. And he's done TFW people. He's done. I think he did a Cybertron.ca or Canadian Slag group.
Yeah,
too.
He also did a Pre-Order 66 group.
Yeah. So he's working through it. So if you follow Noisemaze on Twitter, get to know him, and then he'll put up a video of you valiantly fighting aliens and hopefully not dying.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've enjoyed it. The one issue I had is that I had bought it when I was in Chicago and played it in little bits of downtime, and so I'd advanced a little bit. And so I get home, install it on my desktop where I can actually have it past the just please run settings.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike about every other Steam game, it did not transfer the save. So I had to start back over at square one.
Lovely.
And it has a good like tutorial session. Like the first 5 missions that you go through are pretty close to being a hold your hand, do this, hold your hand, do that. And there is a way to start a game without doing that, but I couldn't get back out of what I was doing until it was like I'm already through 2 of these missions. I'd have to start over again and all right, whatever. I'll just do the next 2 handholds and go from there. But it's a fun game that it seems as if because I've done, like I said, you know, I've done my kind of 2 starts of it, and they both have played differently for being the exact same games with the same difficulty settings. So that leads me to believe that it's going to be one that you can replay a few times. I've seen people get kind of upset that they, due to the randomness of it, have ended up with some pretty untenable situations right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like they, whatever the dice roll is that gets things started, he got as bad as it could have been, and you deal with it, and then the aliens take over Earth, and you go, oh, okay, and start over.
I hear it's, my understanding of XCOM is that it's, the older XCOM at least, was known for being a slightly unforgiving game when you hit a bad point. Like, you can pull out of it, but the game will not help you pull out of it.
Yes, so it took a little bit before I enabled autosaves, because I didn't realize that it wasn't autosaving. And so it autosaves at the beginning of each of your tactical turns, and I have had some turns where So as you go along, your dudes get dropped off at the edge of a battlefield, and you got to start working your way in with heavy, heavy fog of war action. So you have really no idea what's just outside of line of sight. And when your dudes see an alien, the aliens see you, make this, oh, there you are noise, and then they get a move. And so what I have had happen a few times, tongue twister, is you walk into a trap of, like, six dudes sitting around playing Parcheesi or something. Not real sure what they're doing all sitting around, but then they all turn, look up at you, and then swarm the dude that you pushed a little bit too far ahead, and then he's dead. Just, he can be hiding in cover, but there are just too many dudes shooting at him, and a little pot shot here, a little pot shot there, bam, it's gone. So then you gotta think, well, I mean, did he really earn it running that far ahead? Should I deal with this penalty, or do I just load the last, you know, autosave that happened? And half of the time I load the last autosave that just happened, because it's kind of cheap when it happens.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's one of those things that I know that when it happens, I'm like, yep, I did that. I ran him into that swarm of dudes. Because I was like, man, I've not seen anybody in like three turns. I've just been creeping my dudes forward and putting them on Overwatch. So if they see anybody, they get to take a shot. And man, I just, come on. Oh, yep, too far. So end up just taking my time. And I think that's what I'll just have to do in the future as I continue to play. It's just, you know what, just slowly walk forward and keep everybody covered. And then shoot some aliens in the face.
Lovely. XCOM.
Yep.
Did you get anything else this week?
Seth Buzzard just gifted me the Walking Dead game on Steam.
Don't
I'm not sure if
it.
That's chapter one or the whole shebang for me to play tomorrow during my Vigia gaming.
Don't tell me about it.
It's a Vigia game.
No!
It's a game that's Vigias.
Is
spoiled forever.
Other than that, though?
Other than that, I don't think so.
All right. Hey, guess what I did? I forgot to talk about a Transformer I got. So, we're back into off-topic after that weird little time trip. And, Omegas, what did you get that's off-topic?
Let's see where to start. I guess the pile of Figuarts would be a good place. First off, I picked up Figuarts Bokan Red.
Mm-hmm.
Good lord, he comes with a lot.
Yeah, I got him last week, and that's, I think, the most accessories I've seen on a Figuart ever.
Yeah, it's a little bit excessive when you've got a Survive Buster that can fit on his side, specifically for his side, and then a separate one specifically to hold.
Yeah.
The only difference between them is a peg.
I know, and I actually had to check the instructions to figure out why he had two. I was like, is this something from the show I forgot? Like, that he had two of them? And I didn't even notice the peg for the longest time.
The dual wielding's nice.
Mm.
I like that option. The two spears, claw, and actual bladed one. Very cool. All the different excellulars.
Yeah, three of them, and I mean, thing that blew my mind about him is the hand options, because like how many hands does he come with? Like 11?
11.
And then he also comes with four hands for an entirely different figure.
Yeah, and the huge accessory, which unfortunately I don't own, so I have no reason to have the Boken Scooper.
Just give it to him.
Doing some shoveling.
Yeah.
Snowing here. He's a very cool figure, though. I know that one doesn't seem to go over as well, but it's still my favorite Sentai. Like, I have love for it no matter what form I have.
I have a question for you. How do you feel about the shoulder design on Boken Red?
Shoulder design doesn't get to me that bad.
Okay, I don't mind his shoulders, but I really wish he had the the sleeves like that Red Falcon has.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's a gap there almost.
I don't know, the sleeves are kind of hit and miss for me. I know Shinken Red was kind of a feeling out process, but they just seem to obstruct the shoulders wherever I wanted to mess with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they're still trying to feel it out. Here, I have to go look at my Gokai Blue right now, because I couldn't remember the Gokai mold has it.
Crap. They're right over there. Yeah, they have. I believe they have the sleeves.
They're much smaller though.
Yeah.
If they're that unintrusive, then maybe. I don't know. I kind of liked how much freedom he had in the shoulders because he didn't have his sleeves. I mean, visually it's a little distracting, but you know, it's an action figure. If I'm ignoring the joints, I can ignore a little gap there.
Mm-hmm.
I think what bugged me more was the knees that weren't white on one side.
Oh, yeah! I forgot about
that. That's nitpicking.
Yeah. That I can forgive. I mean, that's just a solid knee joint. They had to make a choice between white and red. I murdered him.
Oh, well. He's still cool. The other figure I managed to pick up was the Scorpion Zodiarts.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for that to ship still.
That thing is gorgeous. Like, the level of molding and paint that went into that toy is kind of incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's all around. Like, the only disappointment I would have with her is she can't do the scorpion pose.
Oh.
Like, with a leg hiked back on her belly.
How do you feel about the cape?
The cape was weird. Like, the cape made me feel like I was playing with a pretender.
Yeah, all that nice sculpted detail, which you can firmly enshroud in a solid black piece of clamshell.
You had to do a little bit of part forming to actually get the clamshell on there.
I know. I watched a video of someone putting that thing together, and like halfway through I was sitting there going like, if it's that much work, why would I do it? Like, cover up all the good parts of the toy.
Still, I like that they put it in as an accessory.
Yeah,
an option, because you know we saw them in the robe so much.
Yeah, I felt the implementation. It looked just weirdly sloppy for figure arts.
Well, I kind of see what they were going for.
Yeah,
because it had to be done that way. Because, well, number one, you've got these huge spikes sticking out of Scorpion all over. But beyond that, I mean, they were trying to keep some articulation in the arms. They were trying to keep the shoulders still working and still make it like this, okay, 1-2 clamshell type thing.
Yeah.
So I could see what they were going for. Execution, maybe not the best. What I do like about the robe is now I get to see what other figure arts can actually wear it.
Have you fit any other ones into it?
I haven't gotten around to it, but I think the Sentai ones have a pretty good shot. No armor to get in the way. I know. All around, I thought it was a really cool one. I mean, it might be worth the pickup just for the little tiny Zodiar switch it comes with.
Yeah, that's cool. Pose it with some 6 inches.
So, she's a nice little piece of art. elsewhere down the line in similar vein, I picked up Ultra Act Gridman.
Yeah, Servo.
Servo. So when we get that figure as Tyranno Ranger, I'm going to have this nice little highly articulated 6-inch childhood.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Mm. He's really, really good, though. I mean, for my first Ultra Act. All over, just really impressive. I mean, he's got all the articulation of a figure art. Really solid design. Little touches to him. Like, the fact that his biceps can actually freely rotate rather than kind of flexing a sleeve around his arm in different positions.
Mm-hmm.
So he holds up a lot better. He works a lot smoother that way. And really cool effect part, too. Like, you have to remove the tiniest little piece from his forearm in order to actually put it in. But it's so spot on with the beam from the show. Like, looks very cool. I think the only disappointment was he didn't come with the axe weapon he had in the show.
You think they might be holding that back for the armors?
I don't see why. They never really used it with the armors.
Hmm.
I was kind of surprised he came with all variations of that weapon except for that, which was weird.
For those who know what Servo means, go look up Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. You'll see what Gridman was to potentially your childhood in North America.
Man, I still got the old toys somewhere. Like, I remember how much better that Servo was than any of the Megazords, articulation-wise.
Yeah. And he held on to it when you combine them with stuff. I had all three of them, like, the main system.
Yeah, I've still got them around here somewhere.
Yeah, those are good.
It's one reason I'm just like, I'm really eager for God Gridman to start showing up.
Yeah.
Man, that thing was cool. So yeah, hopefully something huge to come, because I was kind of amazed that this even made it over, or even made it to toy form, because from what I remember, Gridman wasn't that well received over there.
I think it was just basically forgotten over there. Like, it was a very, like, fly by night, like, oh, here's another Ultraman type of show, bye bye, kind of thing.
Oh, it's nice. It's nice to have him again. It's a nice little piece of retro for me.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, Super Robot Chogokin Daizujin.
Yeah, that's a fantastic figure.
Yes, it is. Let me ask: is he like squeaky tight in the shoulders for you?
Yeah. That's. I was just filming the posability for him actually the other night, and I got this going on.
Yeah.
It's a ball joint, right? Like, it looks like it's a ball joint. And I think that's something that it seems like it's just safe enough because it's not clicking all the time. But that is definitely something that if yours is tight enough to be feeling like a ratchet joint, like you or the listener, that's right. Where you're going to want to get some dry soap in there. If not, ask someone who's bought the stuff. I know Suribot's got some. I got to get some shock oil. That stuff is great for loosening ball joints, but you want to use it very sparingly.
Yeah, that's a friend of mine said, you got, I'm wondering if it's an ongoing problem because one of mine is that loose. Mm-hmm. Or is that tight, rather.
I got like, spots on both that do it.
No, is right shoulder's fine on mine. Left one's like squeak tight. And a friend of mine's got one that's squeak on both of them.
Yeah. Oh, I have a question for you, actually. Are you able to get his waist to rotate left and right?
Let me check. Not much.
Yeah, mine is outright stuck, and I've cranked on it once, and it made a little click. So I think there's a ball joint connecting, because, I mean, I can pop his chest up to do the ab crunch. But side-to-side motion, I think it's a very tight ball joint, and unfortunately, because of all that stuff on his hips, there's, like, no way to get in there.
Yeah. There's one problem I ran into on the Revoltech Prime, too, is the joints are just so deep in there that if something is off, you really can't get to it.
Yeah. I mean, also, the Megazord never really twisted at the waist anyway, so I don't really care.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like it's inaccurate or anything.
Yeah.
So, still, I mean, okay, a few shortcomings in the joints, but everything else is spectacular.
Yeah, that's all I got for cons on this guy. It's like, oh no, yeah. my waist joint doesn't turn and his shoulders squeak. Like, that's it.
Yeah. If I get really nitpicky, it's like, okay, why can't I still see the sword with his electric ghoul effect part on?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it, though. I mean, I love that it comes with that piece. I love that it's got the horn laser. I love that it can do the back guns that can lift over the shoulders.
Yeah, it can do all this stuff that, like, I literally don't remember ever seeing it do in the American use of the stock footage.
Well, the lightning from the horn, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that one I remember. Of course that you did the electric on the sword, but yeah, those guns going over the shoulders, it never did that in the show. So if it did it in the Japanese version, I've never heard of it.
Yeah,
but it always seemed like one of those things that why doesn't it do that? Yeah. It seems like that's like in my Transformer head, that just seemed like so obvious for a robot.
Well, that was the other thing, actually. I kind of wish that those guns could clip in place when they're folded away. Because I find it's just because they stick up so much, it's a bit easy to bump them, and then you have to like readjust them. It's like I mean, again, the tiniest of most niggling little problems to bring up.
Yeah, he's very hard to complain about. Very articulate. I freaking love the effect parts on him.
Dude, have you like? I mean, the multi-stage engineering to use the toe joint on the saber-toothed tiger is fantastic.
Yeah, just all around, just really, really good. I mean, it's really weird because I remember like every single time I play with one of these, I remember, oh yeah, I really like this line.
Yeah, Super Robot Shogokin's great. I think I feel like I like it so much because I only own like 5 out of like what are there now, like 20 some, if not more, and I feel like only sparsely getting them now and then has helped me really appreciate them. And I sometimes wonder if I would like figure arts even more if I hadn't gone so completist on them for so many years.
I think I hit the kind of figure art fatigue after a little while. So there's this one point where I gotta have like every writer that I've ever seen ever. And lately it's been one here or there.
Yeah. Aaron, you got any interest in that Super Robot Chogokin Megazord thing? The Daijujin?
Yes, again, budgetary issues. It's why I've been silent sitting over here.
Oh, okay.
Trying not to pay too much attention because my wallet's already stretched thin. Thanks.
I wasn't sure if that thing was in your wheelhouse too much or not. But, yeah, it's. You know what else is really nice about it? Aaron, by the way? Aaron? Is,
what's that?
Is all the sculpt, like all of the tampo detail on it is actually sculpted onto the toy and cleanly pinstriped.
That sounds great. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
This is going to be your entire Saturday.
I'll hold off, but he's got to concentrate on games.
No, except for it's going to be in text form. And
yeah, he can ignore that.
And across the room for the laptop with the camera, I'm thinking, so...
Yeah.
I'm still not quite sure how any sort of real good replies are going to go.
Get an intern.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, how about moving on to something a little bit more inexpensive?
Sure.
Okay. Finish my Modern Turtles.
Oh, did you go full for... Oh, jeez! No, wait, I haven't gone yet. Never mind. So did you get, like, the whole first wave?
No, well, I've gone for the 4 turtles so far.
Okay, never mind. Okay. Yeah. What do you think of them?
I'm loving them. Love these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it... Like, whoever's doing the budgeting at Playmates, please talk to Hasbro at some point, because you're putting together these amazing toys at prices I can afford at any point.
Well, get the rest of the line, and I think you'll see how they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe this is why I've been putting off the rest of the line, because I keep hearing that.
I'll talk We'll talk in a few minutes.
Yeah. Oh, please do, because I might be going for number 5, and I need something. Anything. Are any of them worth anything after that? Like other than Metalhead.
And I mean, Metalhead is a must get because aside from his arms, as far as I know, he's just as posable as the Turtles. Like ignoring his arms.
Well, it's Metalhead. I mean, how do I not?
Yeah, and he's Metalhead, and he can do stuff with his legs. So win-win.
You know, that aside, I mean, they make a really nice set. I mean, I am digging the variations between them.
Yeah.
But, you know, to go that far beyond just, oh, well, this one is grinning differently. Okay.
And, like, along those lines, did you get any of the classic Turtles that the Playmates put out?
Spoilers.
Oh! Hey, guess what? I'll ask you a certain question later then. Okay.
But yeah, I like the different heights. I like the different colors. I love that I can have all their weapons in a pile and know which ones came with which.
Yeah.
That helps.
Yeah.
Like, the only sacrifice made for that is brown throwing stars, which are kind of weird. But.
Rusty. None of them can. Yeah. That's just classic, though. Like, I was disappointed, like, none of them came with, like, those, like, weird ninja weapons that you couldn't figure out what they were. Like, from my reissue Turtles, I've still got, like, this brown ninja metal blade slice of pizza looking thing.
Yeah, it's the weaponized pizza slice, yeah.
I don't know what ancient Japanese weapon that equates to, but it's been, I've been racking my brain since childhood over it.
Donatello tech.
Yeah.
No, but they are very cool toys. It's very nice. It feels good to have a full set of 4 Turtles again. It feels like it's been a long time since I had that.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel the same way. It's the first time since the 80s that I have actually like collected a cartoony looking set of Turtles. I got the black and white Nika Turtles and they're great, but like I kind of like these colorful ones that don't feel like they're forcing the colorfulness,
right? Yeah. God, it makes me wonder what happened to like the 03 line.
This line happened to the 03
line. I know, but it's like, yeah. Okay, everyone, you get the classic. Everyone I talked to is like, okay, you had the Turtles as a kid, you got the new Turtles, they're really good. Okay, what about the 03?
Everything I've heard is the 03 line was one gigantic railroad crash. But then again, that's what I've heard in summary. I don't know if there were jewels inside of it.
Well, they were smart enough to put out new versions of the mutating turtles.
Mhm.
Those were always nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, any turtle historians out there, anyone who's got experience with the 03 line, I'm curious if it had redeeming qualities. Like as far as I know, and from the few pieces of it I saw up close, it was just a classic Playmates train wreck. From their most of the time they've spent in the 2000s. So.
I just found it odd that anyone collect. Like, I haven't run into anyone who like collect. It was like a turtle collector. That's like, you know, went with the 03 stuff too. It's like for some reason this is bringing in a lot of people that completely skipped the entire toy line.
Well, I mean, look at the quality of the turtle toy you have sitting right there. That's why people are being brought in.
Because
that line, somehow, that is the line that woke Playmates up and made them realize they got to get their bleep together or, you know, they... I mean, I always will say, like, they're the company who managed to fail making toys for Terminator Salvation, the most toy-friendly Terminator movie in Terminator's history. Like, that movie had a giant Terminator that shot little Terminators out of his feet. Like, and you can't mess that up, but they did. So,
they messed up.
It takes skills to be that good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They messed up the Star Trek line.
Yeah, another really
like,
easy
like,
one.
If I know any crazy collectors that buy anything with a certain label on it, it's Star Trek collectors.
Yeah, and they even had a good game plan. 3¾-inch Star Trek J.J. Abrams figures all came with a piece of a diorama. You get the whole wave, you can build the bridge. Perfect idea. Problem was, the figures looked awful and drove people away from wanting to collect a bridge for them, because it's like, wow, I'll have a bridge for figures that don't look very good.
They didn't actually finish that bridge, did they?
I don't know.
So there was, you had to buy the bridge set, and then through all of, I think it was the last wave that did not get a great release to it. So it was possible if you went out and bought stuff at crazy overpriced scalper values.
Oh.
But most of the things that were in those were like additional, like the glass panels that were hanging out in the middle of everything.
Well, those are critical. Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, I say all this right now, Playmates is knocking it out of the park. Everyone should get the four turtles. Everyone.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now you can ask.
Okay. Classics Turtles. Here's the big question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, given the choice, you would go with the four Classics Turtles or the four, I guess, Nick? Or I mean, they're pseudo Nickelodeon Turtles. They're like the Nick Turtle silhouettes with the comic faces and the classic toy accessories. Like, which of the two of those two foursomes that are on shelves right now would you rather throw down $40 for the little guys or like $80 for the four 80s Turtles?
That's actually a hard decision.
Because what do you, like the main question is, which of the two sets of four turtles, who do you think gives you the better bang for your buck? That's the question.
That actually is kind of a tough question. I do like the accessory loadout that the new ones come with. I like their affordability for how well they play. I mean, I said it when I got Michelangelo. They just feel nice to play with.
Yeah.
They feel like really good toys. They feel fun, which is the most important thing. The hard part about the Classics Turtles is actually finding them. Because yeah. I've not
seen any at all here.
Yeah, I've not seen any in any physical store whatsoever. Because the last thing on my list for this week is a Classics Raphael.
Did you find one, or was that through somebody middlemaning?
That was Amazon.
Oh, because yeah, last week I found Donatello at a local Walmart, so less than Toys R Us price, and his eye pupils were not derped. So I was like, well, I guess if I'm going to get one, this is the serendipitous Donatello.
Yeah, I happened to catch someone on Amazon who was selling off ones that were, by his description, not mint.
So what did that mean?
Well, see, that's the gamble. You either go with, oh, well, the card must be bent or something, versus there's a crater in it.
Yeah.
In this case, it meant the glue didn't hold the bubble very well.
Oh. Ah.
So technically the packaging was even less damaged because it wasn't ripped from glue all over it.
I threw the packaging out.
Yeah, oh yeah, me too. But I was kind of surprised. I mean, like, it's a lot bigger than I expected. First off, like, I was expecting, like, figure art sized turtle.
No.
No, quite a bit bigger. A lot bulkier. Ah, it is an incredibly nice figure. I mean, double jointed everywhere, rotations everywhere. Like, very cool. Very very awesome toy all the way around. Like, again, like, tiny nitpicks. Like, I wish his neck ball joint could go up and down a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish his arms could be more slack, but then again, he has to have a shell on him, so how far could they really go down? But, man, I wish these were easier to find, because it is such a good toy.
Yeah. I just don't know about the price point. Like, the roundabout's $20, at least in Canada, price point. It's, you're getting what you pay for, but...
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to pay that four times.
It's hard to... It's hard to be that guy going, you know, maybe they're just a little bit cheaper, I'd go for it. When I'm an import shopper.
Yeah. No, I mean, just weighing them against the new turtle line, I keep feeling like I could have done without the individual fingers and toes to shave a couple bucks off the price.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I mean, when I look at it, like, I went digging. Like, I went digging over at Playmates to see, okay, everyone on Amazon and eBay wants, like, $35 a pop for these things.
Absolutely not. Do not pay that.
No, don't. How expensive are they supposed to be? MSRP, $15.
Then what? Oh, man. Okay, because I've been hearing about the MSRP going up and down. Toys R Us in Canada is charging $22 plus tax each for those things. And that's why I hadn't bought them. And I saw them at comic shops for $19.99. I'm like, there must be diamond prices. I saw one at Walmart. There was no price tag. And so I was like, well, it's an undripped Donnie. I'll pay up to $20. It rang up $19.99. I was like, well, thank goodness that it wasn't a dollar higher than that, or I'd have been feeling like I got ripped off, kind of. And, you know, I don't know if there's just an enforcement of MSRP or something going on, but, like, I mean, I know it's not enforceable. But at $15, yeah, get all four. At $20, I am so questioning whether I want to get the rest of them for 20 each.
See, Rap isn't even my favorite. So if I saw another one for $20, which this guy was like $20 before shipping, and I'm happy with him.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to say because I have never seen one in person.
Yeah, I mean, 'cause yeah, 15, sure. I mean, that's exactly the point I made last week of, like, if they could shave joints off and get them down to $15 retail, that'd be way better. But if they already are, then, yeah, yo, retailers, stop dicking around with that stuff. Like, that's a bummer. Because, yeah, those at $15, I would say those are well worth getting all four.
If you can find them at that rate.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen a toy line that's so in demand and yet so impossible to find.
I hear the Nick Turtles are selling really well too. Like, the whole line is selling really well.
Yeah. I relate my story a few weeks ago of trying to find a Donatello and finding two Walmarts that were completely barren.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And,
going to my Toys R Us, you know, 2 days in a row and the first time for like ever. Like, even then, with this enormous wall of Turtles basic figures, you could still see how many sold in just one day.
Yeah.
Like, it's going. It seems to go incredibly well so far.
Oh, that's great. But yeah, congrats on getting the Turtles. You're going to end up getting a Shellraiser. Just going to tell you now.
Are you kidding me? I'm already trying to figure out how the hell I'm supposed to afford a Turtle Lair.
Well, I mean, you don't need to get that as much because the Turtle Lair comes with a wonderful caveat of no one has space for it, so it's really easy to wait on that one. But the Shellraiser, it's the fate of anyone who gets all four Turtles is that eventually, even be it a Black Friday sale, you're going to end up with a Shellraiser. It is irresistible. It is literally too logical because it's a storage box on wheels for your four Ninja Turtles. It makes too much sense.
I just don't have spots for it. It's like the same reason I don't have an Energon driller yet. I don't have a spot for anything
This thing is the box for your Turtles toys. Like that, and once you're done, I'm going to confirm something that seals the Shellraiser. But
well, that's the last thing I got. So
all right, let's roll
if
on.
If you want to take a strike
during this sale at Toys R Us, 5-inch Ninja Turtle figures were 2 for $16. So I now have the entire first wave of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2012 single pack figures. I picked up Krang, April, and Splinter, and another Foot Soldier. So I now have 2 Foot Soldiers.
And were any of them worth it?
All right, the Foot Soldier I like a lot.
Okay.
I think the Foot Soldier is actually very underrated. Yes, he is limited posability. So just so you know, especially for folks like Omegas, the non Turtles, specifically everyone who isn't the Turtles or Shredder out of that first wave. They basically have a ball-jointed neck, a swivel waist, ball-jointed shoulders, ball-jointed hips, and then some kind of sideways swivel on the elbow that relates to their sculpt. Or they have wrist joints, or maybe both. So they're way less posable, but the thing that saves them is the ball hips and shoulder, or the ball hips and shoulders, and the waist swivel, and the ball-jointed neck. Those 6 points being all jointable and universal outside of the waist does so much, especially for the Foot Soldier. That's why I bought 2, because I bought 1 to see if I could get him into enough poses to make 2 of them worth it, and I feel I could. Splinter is a great accessory for the Turtles. That's the best way to put it. He is just as jointed as the foot soldier. The problem is that his joints are his sculpting just doesn't play with the joints very well, and he's got this big robe on, but he looks really cool with the other Turtles. April, actually, I was not expecting to like April at all, but photos make her sculpt look a lot more warped than it actually is in real life. Again, she's got all that strange posability. She's got a bow staff, and if you watch the show, the number of bow staff-related weapons she has is kind of creepy. But I don't mind her. Again, she and Splinter are great accessories for the Turtles, almost. And April does come with a rack of weapons, which are all related to the four brothers in some way. They're like training versions of their weapons, and okay. A Tonfa. So that's kind of cool. And I talked about Shredder way back. Shredder is almost cool. Like, he's as poseable as the Turtles, except he has no knees, but that still makes him poseable from the waist up. So he's kind of a cool figure on his own, but April and Splinter are very much accessories for the Turtles, and the foot soldiers are very much good desk fodder to fight the Turtles, more so than being standalone figures, I find. Now, Krang. Word on the street is Krang sucks. Krang does suck. It is the worst figure in the line. He's got ball-jointed shoulders that only really work as swivels, and they're sculpted in really stupid angles. He's got swivel hips, but he's sculpted in this weird half-squat, so his hips barely even work unless you've lined up the alignment for him to be standing. But he does have a ball-jointed neck that's actually really expressive, and the little squidgy Krang thing you can pull out of the middle of his chest has a cavity in it, so you can kind of stick it onto other toys' heads. But I also found the cavity means you can bend all his little tendrils to stuff inside the cavity, so when you cram him into the Krang body, all his tentacles are, like, folded up inside of him. So, I actually like the Krang's torso and head, but his limbs are terrible. And then I found out, the little rubber Krang, people have already had them start disintegrating. Because they're made of, like, really gummy, like, rubber, and they feel like, you know, those toys you'd throw at the wall that would start to slime their way down the wall.
Okay.
And apparently people have already had the tentacles just start to literally just fall off from being bent. Yeah, just shed off. And I was sitting there really stressing mine when I was, like, folding him up to go inside the body, and he's packaged with the tentacles kind of crammed in, halfway sticking out of the front. So, unfortunately, as much as I like the look of the design and I like the expressive head joint, and when it doesn't disintegrate, I like the little rubber Krang, apparently they are literally perishable. So, skip the Krang. The Krang needs to be a shelf warmer, the Krang needs to be a clear non-seller, and then they need to make a better new Krang, is what needs to happen. And also, I can now confirm I've got all, what is it? Turtles, April Splinter, Shredder, blah, blah. That's 9 figures?
That's the wave one. Yep.
They all fit into the Shellraiser.
Really?
Like, it takes a little bit of work. They all have to be standing, but I managed to make it so they all fit into the Shellraiser, and I could close the Shellraiser up.
Huh.
So my I now have a Shellraiser with the entire first wave of toys in it. The Shellraiser is a necessity. It is a proven necessity. There you go. And if you skip figures like the Krang or like April, then you've got room in there for like Metalhead and Fishface. So, you know, just get the Shellraiser. It's going to happen. Wait for a sale for sure. But don't tell yourself you're not going to get it, because you're going to get it. And you know, to you, to Aaron, to everyone listening, you're going to get the Shellraiser. You're doomed, but you're going to get the Shellraiser. Every toy collector on the internet, eventually, unless they have no soul, is going to get the four Turtles and the Shellraiser. It's just inevitable right now. It's the four Turtles are so good, and the Shellraiser is too logical. It's deadly. Like, I gotta give congratulations to Playmates for this. It is a deadly combination of four really cool figures where you buy one and it's kind of cool and you feel like you got to buy the other four. And by the time you bought the other four, you feel like you got to get a Shredder or a Splinter or a Foot Soldier to go with them. And by the time you have that many, you realize, hey, I can fit them all in that Shellraiser thing. You've been sucked in. I've been sucked in already. So just join me down here. The Sarlacc pit's not that bad. It's really warm. A little bit humid. Take our shirts off. It's fine. Anyway, other than that, the other stuff I got in the box from Seth was 3 of the blind-packed Beast Saga figures, the new Takara Tomy Battle Beasts who have dice in their stomachs. They're very cool. The aesthetic is great. They hold their shields in a really dumb way, and the dice gimmick is actually kind of fun. There's, like, the plunger that comes out of their back has, like, a metal clip that frictions the tension, so they can actually shoot the dice pretty well. I'm just in stunned disbelief that, as far as I've heard, no one's translated the dice game yet. Come on, guys! It's get a three-pack. Someone who does fan subs, I don't know, get a three-pack of Beast Saga and friggin' scan and translate that instruction sheet. It'll take you, you know, a week. We'll pay you with love and cookies. I want to know how this game works! Unless it's already happened, in which case, you know, congratulations and thank you for translating that. I don't know if I'm going to go all in on Beast Saga. I'm glad I got a couple of them here. They're really cool. They are totally beefier old battle beasts, and that's great. I got the giraffe, the elephant, and the bird that looks a lot like a penguin but is actually a sparrow. And they're the clear plastic versions that are blind-packed, so they're all in, like, weird translucent shades, and they look really neat. I also got some stuff from my friend Nice Stuff, who was at New York Comic Con selling a whole bunch of stuff, his custom-painted Glios and original resin pieces. Before he went to New York Comic Con, he sold some stuff on his site, and so I picked up three figures from him. And they're really cool. They're his style. They're all hand-painted. They're assembled using Glios parts, and the one on the left has his arms and head are original pieces done by Nice Stuff, cast up in resin. And they're all They're all painted up in monster color spray paint, multiple layers, clear coats. Little dude on the right, little Cyclops dude, is a really shiny metallic green paint scheme, and his two little forearm things are glow in the dark with gloss clear coat over the top. And then the one in the middle has tentacles on him, and I like that. So they're cool. They're just little, you know, they're the epitome of art toys, if that is a thing. And I'm happy with them. I always like to support Nice Stuff when I can. Because he got me into Glios, and we all know how that went. let me check my list here. All right. One last thing to talk about, and I'm going to gush a little bit. It's vaguely Glios-related. Spy Monkey Creations. They got their start doing third-party accessories for Masters of the Universe Classics. And then they got their big push by doing their accessory sets using the Glios peg system. So you basically got these big bags of Glios parts that you could customize into He-Man weapons. They have taken that the next step, still using the Glios peg system, to do their original toy line, the Weaponeers of Mung-Ka. So I'm going to give you guys a link to their page. If you scroll down, the first thing you're going to see are actually some custom builds people did using multiple Mung-Ka toys. But if you go on the right, there's like a logo that says Weaponeers of Mung-Ka. Click that to go to the website. It's basically an original toy line. It's like a fusion of He-Man and the Warriors of Crystar, kind of. And Transformers as well. And Ronin Warriors. Each figure is basically like, they all share the same basic body. And there are five different head sculpts, which are also the hand sculpts, which is kind of cool. And so basically, any figure you get the figure, you get one or two additional heads / hands, and you get a blade weapon and a sickle weapon. And for $12, that's really good, because these guys are made from super thick, super dense, like, unbreakable PVC. And they have, like, panel lining paint apps done all over them, a tampograph chest symbol, and, like, detail paint apps done on the heads / hands. And not just
that. Wow, that is crazy. All of those heads are the hands, and the hands are the heads.
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
It's really cool. And the way that they differentiate even further is that the basic buck, I suppose you'd call it, has a chest, a stomach, and a groin. And like each of those three pieces is different on the other side. So you can swivel it around to change how they look from the front. So like, as you can see, the two main characters, like the red dude and the purple dude, they're the same toy, but their torsos have been swiveled around. So, like, one side of the torso looks like armor, the other side looks like pecs and biceps and stuff. And abs. Not biceps. Just abs. Yeah. The head sculpts are also really cool. Because, like, as you can see, like, the leader of the villains is literally Skeletor's face with Megatron's helmet. The leader of the heroes is, like, any given, Fluoro-Dairy Transformer face with Crystar of the Crystal Warriors' helmet on. So that aesthetic already aside, they're really cool. They're also really dense. They're kind of big. They're, like, just under 4 inches tall, and then, like, 2 inches to 3 inches wide. They're really heavy. Like Glios toys, they're pretty much indestructible. Like, here, I'm going to toss Brutok on the floor really hard. There, he's fine.
Oh, crap, it broke into 8 pieces.
Nope. And then because they use the Glios system, basically every component connection is a swivel joint, and they're designed really smartly. So while they don't have elbows or knees, the piece that is used for the forearms and shins has a connector point, so you can just pull it off and stick it back on looking as though it's bent. And then the biceps and shins, you can pull apart, invert, and put back together to put different angles onto their arms and legs. So if you're okay. willing to do that, you know, the very brief process of, like, here's how long, I'm going to switch the bicep. Pop, pop, flip. Pop, pop. Now I've changed all the angles. And it's really cool how subtle that can change all the posability on these guys. You can even, like, switch the shins and biceps around, so you can have, like, some guys with longer arms and shorter legs, and some guys with, like, longer legs and shorter arms, which really helps out the main character, because it works a lot better aesthetically with his head sculpt. So what they do is they sell these guys for $12 each. The painted main characters all come with, like, one or two extra heads. The clear crystal guys come with everything. Like, every head and both weapons, because they're supposed to be the choose-your-own-character guys, the golems. They're like newborn characters who have yet to figure out who they are. So the idea is you can build them however you want to kind of represent their evolution, which is kind of cool. They're also done in really cool translucent plastic, like a turquoise translucent and an orangey-red translucent. And then they also, because these guys did these accessory sets before, they sell, like, an accessory set for these guys, which just comes with more weapons, like little guns, little blades and stuff, all disassemblable, all using the same system. But here's the cool thing. This is the thing that I think makes these guys way cooler, and this is all thanks to a dude on the October Toys forum. I cannot for the life of me remember his username, but he came up with a build that I've modified slightly. So basically, I'm going to send you guys 2 pictures. This first picture, this is Paladar. He's the good guy general. He's like the second in command. He's like the Ironhide character. So you see, he's like this dude. He's got like a tall Pope hat and like little beady eyes underneath.
Okay.
Et cetera, et cetera. And that tall Pope hat is also used as a cannon arm on the main character, because it's basically a giant gun barrel.
Yeah.
All those pieces, you can just rearrange and turn them into this, which is like this crazy awesome gun mech, like just like samurai gun mech who has a sickle for a ponytail, and he's got like ankle tilts and is surprisingly poseable.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I can see that.
So that's why I actually am kind of going to heavily recommend these dudes to Transformers fans who like robots. I'll try to post the pictures in the thread, but basically, if you're in the States, it's $12 for a figure, and I think the shipping in the States is really cheap, something like just like $5 or $6. Shipping to Canada is not cheap, unfortunately. But I just say try one of these out. It's an independent toy company. You're supporting something that's pretty awesome. And you can, if you don't like the look of these dudes as like bipedal He-Man robots, you can reassemble them to look like really cool, more Japanese style walker mechs with a blade for a hand or something like that. Also, what's really cool is they went an extra mile on these guys. Every figure also comes with a very glossy, like professional quality trading card. And the trading card has, like, the character art on one side, and then literally extensive tech specs on the back with, like, 3 paragraphs of fiction and a character quote.
Oh, wow.
So they really went all out on this. It's a very cool idea. And then, like, they got all these extra things. Like, the figures are $12. The weapon packs are, like, $5. And then, like, if you buy all the figures, there's still a few heads in certain colors you won't get. So all the heads that are not included with the figures are sold in a head pack for another $5. And so that's just, like, a bunch of the heads in, like, red, purple, green, purple, whatever, in colors that are not... I said purple twice, because I like purple a lot. But, and they still...
Said it 2 more times.
They still have their He-Man-oriented accessory sets, which are in matching plastic colors, which, because of the peg system, also can be used to interact with these guys to make much bigger, more impressive builds. You know, check out the front page of SpyMonkeyCreations.com. And you'll see a whole bunch of builds they put up from people who picked up the toys. Like, a great example being this giant armored metal dude. I'm going to send you guys the picture now. So this guy's built from, like, I think just, like, 2 figures in one of the weapon sets. It's a really cool toy line. It's based on the GLaDOS thing, but the aesthetic is much different. And I'd really recommend checking it out if you like what you see. Also, just because I am astounded by how much they give you for $12, given that they're a tiny independent company. It's really heavy, heavy stuff. So I'm going to probably bring some of these to conventions to try to force people to get into new things they don't want to get into, as I am often want to do. But I say all this because I am totally, in the next couple months, probably going to order like two of each figure again so I can start building with them and making cool giant things, because I actually really like these guys on their own. And I want to build with them, but I don't want to mess up mine, because I want to keep them all looking like their basic configurations. So anyway, Weaponeers Among Ka. I am really, really impressed by these. I did not think I'd be into them as much as I am as an actual toy line. I thought I was going to be into them as more parts for my GLaDOS guys. But like, if you go to their website, they actually have like an 11 chapter written piece of fiction about these guys that introduces the characters. It's really cool.
Wow.
They went very all out on these, and they were going for just like, just it is tons of homages to the mid to late 80s and early 90s. I like it a lot. Anyway, that's all I got this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We are done, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to talk to Aaron again very soon through text, because I'm going to be watching him abuse his body for at least a couple hours tomorrow. Yeah. For the sake of the sick kids.
Yep.
So until then, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk to you later. This has been Vangelis, Aaron, and Omegas, WTF and TFW. You want to leave us a voicemail? Well, let me tell you what the number is. It's 318-775-9830, 318-775-9830, 318-775-9830. And I am going to play with my Weaponeers Among Ka a little bit more because, man, I mean, I said this about GLaDOS, but I have toys I can bang together again. And that's, I mean, that's kind of horrible because I should be growing out of that. But man, listen to this. Like, I'm banging my toys together. I'm so happy.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.